is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The news junkie for a Monday, January 15th, 2018. A lot to get to today. From the NFL playoffs, bring the drama to Don't Let Blue Monday Get You Down, and chaos in Hawaii after an incoming missile alert, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Good morning, C-Lane.
Good morning, guys.
So much to get to today, just like any other day. Lots of things happening in the world, lots of things happening in all of our lives, I would imagine. And we were all out and together at the Chili Cook-Off this weekend.
That's right.
It was a good time.
It was. And, you know, considering the amount of chili I put inside my body, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I was done with chili far sooner than I expected. And I got to tell you, I was amazed to see C-Lane after. He's a chili lover. I see him after we tasted all of them. C-Lane still had like another dish of one, eating away, trying it out.
There was talk of us trying about 40 to 45, 50 chilies, maybe. Like they had that many booths, and it turned out that not all of them turned one in.
Some people got scared, I think.
Oh, really?
I think they said, we don't want to bring it up. They look at those really professional chili tasting judges up
there.
We don't want to have to bring our stuff for inspection by these people with such very particular palates.
So. Yeah, of course, I'm very grateful that they didn't get a chance to see our copy of the judge's list, because professional word would have been right out the window.
Burn those. I'm not going to lie. Some of them were so good. And congratulations to Dirty Jim for a People's Choice Award. I know we all liked his chili and the actual competition itself at the Crime Line Chili Cook-Off. And he did very well all across the board. But I am not going to lie to you. There was a couple where we're writing down notes. No. And if you did something that wasn't chili-like, you were getting notes from C-Lane. Like, this is not a chili person. And there was one that, I'm not going to call out anybody
There's
individually.
A couple that I wrote soup.
Yeah. There was some good, there was some bad, and I realized very quickly I don't want to try that many chilies or that many anything that many times over and over and over again. But it was fun to see everybody out there and a good crowd at the event.
My terrible scheduling went that we did the chili cook-off. We only tried about 34, and so I had one or two more, just walked around and grabbed a couple because I was still hungry. But then we went and hung around in Sanford for a bit and hit a couple places there, and we went to Hollerbox, the Willow Tree Cafe, the German restaurant.
All right. It was very delicious.
That everybody talks about, raves about this place, and I've heard awesome things about their food, but I've just had a buttload of chili. I can't really have a full German meal.
Did you muscle through?
I wanted to have some schnitzel. I ended up having like a potato pancake, but I wanted the schnitzel. I wanted the bratwurst and everything, and I couldn't because I also had a birthday dinner to attend that night at Texas Day Brazil.
Wow! So you and your stomach were had a hell of a week.
Oh yeah, my liver.
You're like the little kid on the stovetop stuffing commercials who's doing multiple Thanksgiving meals to try to get it all in and get as much as he could.
My liver's had the month off, but my stomach took a beating Saturday mostly.
It was a very great event, and again, awesome to see everybody out there. Yeah, we got to shake this off today. Today is supposedly, and I feel like we've heard this before, but. Supposedly, whichever one you'd like to say, today is Blue Monday.
Today is?
Yeah. Didn't we already have a day that they said was the saddest day of the year?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Like the third or.
The winter solstice, I thought was. But
yeah, that was maybe at the end of last year, but today is called Blue Monday.
Multiple Blue Mondays a year.
This whole year is going to be just a blue year. But this is supposed to be the most depressing day
Happy
of them
Blue
all.
Year.
It typically falls on the third Monday in January. It's supposed to represent the time when people are at their most bored and hopeless. There's a complex algorithm underpinning the theory, which was created by a travel company, but certain academics say it's complete and total nonsense.
Blue Monday always falls on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Is that always the third Monday?
I mean, today's Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
It is, yes. And a great man celebrated today, did many amazing things in his life. It's so interesting to read up each year on all the new files and things that are released about Martin Luther King Jr. All this stuff you find out. There's There's so much information from the FBI files to the biographies of his life. And then I wonder, why do we have to work today?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of people who have off today? Are we talking to the air right now?
The office is closed today. I don't know if you noticed when you parked this morning that there was considerably less cars in the parking lot, but the office is closed. You took your Martin Luther King Jr. Day on the 2nd of January.
Oh, I wasn't told that.
It's a floating.
Yeah, man. I thought that we got that one, and here we are. If you're out there, we're glad to be with you. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we are live here on the show. I know a lot of people think, it's going to be one of these three-day weekends, and they're not going to be in. No, we are live today. Judging from the crowd I saw at the bar last night watching the football game, there was a lot of people with three-day weekends, or there's a lot of people who are mega hungover right now.
Oh, yes.
There, if you go to one of the bars downtown around 6:15, you have the people who got there around noon, and they've been drinking all that time.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie Central. There's so many people. I saw people just hugging each other, and fights almost breaking out every 10 seconds.
It's amazing. You know, you think day drinking, that means the sun will be out, people will be happy, and it's just a matter of hours. The sun's not even fully gone, and people are literally walking around like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, there was a lot of that happening, but there was a moment last night. I don't know if you guys watched the game, saw the Vikings and the Saints.
No, I watched the other one.
The Vikings and Saints game. There was a moment where I just heard everybody erupt and go nuts. It was a Hail Mary pass, essentially, to Stephon Diggs. Well, I guess he was going 61 yards as the clock ticked down to zero for a surprise win. Vikings over Saints sounded like this.
To save time, that's going to be where Keenum's going to try to work the ball on the boundary. Keenum steps into it. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
And everybody went nuts. Unless, of course, you were a fan of the Saints.
Well,
yeah.
Not so much. And I've seen the video everybody's sending this morning of the Saints fan who takes his 60-inch TV off the wall and throws it off the balcony. I don't know if it's real. But this guy's, enough's enough. He just throws his TV off the balcony.
And that's like not the first video I've seen along those lines. And I'm like, why don't you guys do something to the T-shirt?
Yeah.
Because that is just way more expensive to throw out the TV.
You could find so many things that you could take all your football anger out on. The big screen TV seems like a bad, bad choice.
Imagine if you're that guy's kid and you're like,
he wants to watch some TV later. You got a broken pile of television. How many stories below? I don't know. I feel like it might have been fake.
It could have been. It would have been awesome if it's real, if somebody's that passionate about it. But I don't know. The other huge upset, obviously, was Jaguars beating the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching, because we were getting ready to go to brunch, and we were watching sort of the pregame lead-in kind of stuff that ESPN was doing. And they did this really long piece about the Steelers' pump-up song that they play at the stadium at home games.
Oh, okay, they have a song, sort of like how UCF has the Zombie Nation thing
UCF
or whatever.
UCF has Zombie Nation, but UCF, like, they play that after every touchdown. That's sort of like their fight song almost, unofficially. But, no, this is like after the second half, if the Steelers are kind of behind a little bit, which they were for most of the game.
Uh-huh.
And
they want to get people into the game.
But this is something that like is supposed to pump the team up, and they had this like behind the scenes on how it started. Like one of the video directors was in his car, and he hears this song come on the radio. He goes, you know what? This could be the thing. This could be the song that leads us into victory.
What is it?
I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the
It's Stiff. You say, but the song just starts so slow, and then before you know
it's like Gregorian monks at the beginning of this thing.
It is, but for whatever reason, and they kept like showing shots of the team, and they had the like audio on them and stuff. The Steelers love this song.
Yeah?
Yeah, they get so, they don't, by the way, they don't know any of the words. They just go, they go, oh, mama, and this is when, like, the stadium erupts and everybody goes crazy.
Okay, the first time when the Steelers are down on the points and you play this, all right, okay, I'm there with you, I'm ready to go. But if they keep getting scored on time and time again, then the 10th time you're just like, oh, mama.
I don't know how widespread it was outside of Pittsburgh before that little piece on ESPN ran, but with the Steelers trailing behind, at one point 21-0, trailing behind the Jaguars for the entire game on Sunday, all the tweets were like, oh, looks like these guys could use some Renegade. Somebody crank up the sticks.
There was also a near incident at the Jaguars-Steelers game. A young guy, well, 30-year-old man living in San Antonio, Texas. His name is Yutana Chuchongkol, and he threatened to kill himself, players, and fans. Here's the threat he sent to a Pittsburgh television station. This Sunday's playoff game in Pittsburgh is going to be like no other. Why? Because it's going to be my last day on this pathetic planet. So why not take some innocent lives with me? The Steelers game will be packed, and that's when I plan on killing Steelers football players and fans before taking my own pitiful life. After all, what is a person that is going to commit suicide have to lose? Absolutely nothing. So why not take out some million-dollar Steelers players before me? Sounds like a good idea. Ha, 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 ha. Thankfully, they contacted that individual, arrested them. Nothing went wrong, and they didn't have an incident at the game. It doesn't appear that there was a whole lot of planning going on, just a threat sent out by some lunatic. Speaking of threats sent out and people freaking out about them, this story about what went down in Hawaii this weekend, it is one of the most unbelievable things that I've heard in a very long time. And if you didn't hear the message that they heard and see the reaction to it, wait till you hear these details. Plus, we'll get into your dispatches next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
If you ever need to talk,
he'll pretend to listen.
You're listening to the News Junkie.
This was absolutely one of the more mind-numbing stories I've seen in a while, and I can't even imagine what I would have been thinking if I was in Hawaii when this whole thing went down. Most of you have seen by now what happened. There was a message that was sent out. Missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. All in caps. This is not a drill. And people started panicking. There's just videos of people, Sabrina, putting their family, putting their kids in, like, the sewers.
Oh, yeah. I saw it. And you could hear the girl, like, I don't want to go in there. And what's amazing to me is I was going through, like, all the moments on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
And there are people who did exactly what they were supposed to in a situation like that. They're their kids in the sewer drain, or if they have like a bomb shelter, or they're in their tubs with mattresses over their heads. And then the other half people just on social media. Like, if one girl in the car, if I die today without any makeup on, I'm going to be so pissed.
There was so many videos of this. And there was a lot of people who, maybe this is one of the bigger points to take out of this, didn't know what the hell to do. There's video on some of the college campuses of just students running, and then they're running, and then they run left, and they go, I don't know, now let's run right for a little bit. And nobody knew what to do, where this missile was headed, and if they were going to die at any minute. People are crying, and it was all because of what they say. I don't know, some conspiracy theories about this for sure, but they say it was the responsibility of an employee to, during a shift change, do a couple of things. And during that process, they sent out this message. And it's not unlike some we've seen in the state of Florida. If there's a hurricane warning where you are, or if there's a missing person, they'll send these alerts out to your phone, and they'll tell you what's going on in your area. And they're usually sent with some sort of urgency. You could tell, like, something bad is going on. But this is one that people had never seen before. In fact, some people just watching sports on TV when they get the message in audible form, and this would have made me completely crap my pants. No, it's right here. Hold on.
As the first half comes to an end,
the U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii. A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes. This is not a drill. If you are indoors, stay indoors.
My goodness.
If you are outdoors, seek immediate shelter in a building. Remain indoors well away from windows. If you are driving, pull safely to the side of the road and seek shelter in a building or lay on the floor.
Oh, that's not
gonna be
bad.
We will announce when the threat has ended. This is not a drill. Take immediate action measures. Repeat.
How about this? That went uncorrected, unchecked, and no new message sent out for 38 minutes, aka the amount of time it would take North Korea to send a nuclear warhead to Hawaii. They didn't send out one and correct that. So if this employee F's up and sends out this message, I don't even know how that's a thing. How is there not like three keys that have to go in to make that happen?
That's why something smells fishy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the amount of time that it took, I mean, it really, I saw the statement from that guy who admitted that he made the mistake, but it takes two points of verification to send that out. It's like, are you sure you want to tell everybody in Hawaii that a ballistic missile? He had to press yes. Yet they got somebody to admit it immediately.
Yeah, it just, there's something weird about it.
Is it beneficial to the people, the citizens, that if there was actually a ballistic missile and they were able to stop it, to just let everybody know it was a mistake anyways?
I think I think what they could have done is, there must have been a moment where this guy realized, oh damn, I just sent this out and everybody's going to think there's a missile headed toward Hawaii. Millions of people! Millions of people that got this message.
They should have said false alarm immediately
right away.
After.
Well, how did that take 38 minutes to go, hey, guys, made a little mistake. There is no incoming missile. People are ducking. They're hiding in the closets. They're not going anywhere. There's probably somebody in Hawaii who has crawled into a bunker and still doesn't know that there was no missile that was going to land.
Oh, poor guy.
There's one person just sitting in there.
They're eating all of the canned food right now, just like everybody I know is dead.
They're going to crawl out in years. There's a Brendan Fraser movie where that happens, I'm almost positive. And they're just going to crawl out and go, wait, nothing happened? This was a mistake?
Now, there are a couple things to note and then ask. One, I had always wondered with the back and forth threats with North Korea, what would happen if there was a missile headed towards it? How would we find out? Like, I was thinking, I'm watching Netflix. Is that going to stop? Are they going to come through the Wi-Fi? So at least we know it's going to be through the phones.
Yeah.
But two, what do you do? Like, I know for a hurricane, I know for what to do for a tornado or an earthquake, but I haven't got the 101 on the ballistic missiles
and
yet.
Neither did anybody in Hawaii.
Now,
they're putting kids in sewers, for God's sake.
Do you think 9 months from now, 9-10 months from now, Hawaii baby boom?
Possibly.
They only had 36 minutes. So
36 minutes is enough time to make a kid, Sean. I think you know this.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not like you spent hours on Dylan.
No. It was probably a short amount of time that it took for that.
A really fascinating thread on Reddit right now that says people who made an impulse decision when they found out Hawaii was going to be nuked, what did you do and do you regret it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing too crazy impulse. A lot of people are saying, I had breakfast. What am I going to do? One person, I went to Honokahau to dive. Figured 100 feet underwater was as good a place as any. No boom. I don't know if that's necessarily.
Nobody knows the right thing to do.
While I didn't make the impulse decision, the people around me did. I was sleeping when the announcement came out, and the others in my house didn't decide to wake me up. They said if I was going to die, might as well let me die in my sleep.
There had to have been some people who just opened the nicest bottle of whiskey they had.
I ate all the leftover lasagna in my fridge. I figured that if S is about to hit the fan, I better carve the F up. Not a bad thing.
Here's the governor talking about what led to this whole fiasco. And the thing that comes to mind for me is, what happens if, God forbid, they really did have a missile headed toward Hawaii in the next weeks, months, years? Now there's going to be some people that go, oh, great, here we go again. What, they hire that guy back that hit the wrong button last time? Here's the governor.
Early this morning, an error was made and a false alarm was sent to cell phones and to TV and radio. We investigated, and as soon as we became aware that it was an error, we took action to send the notification that it was a false alarm. You know, this should not have happened. We are investigating the sequence of events that occurred. An error was made in emergency management, which allowed this false alarm to be sent.
Can you explain that error in depth as much as you can?
It was a procedure that occurs at the change of shift where they go through to make sure that the system is working, and an employee pushed the wrong button.
They pushed the wrong button is one of those things that got me.
I mean, those buttons, let's go back in and clearly mark them. Like red, green, no,
but
yes.
If there's a missile attack button, I think we're all probably in agreement there's not just one button. There's probably a variety of buttons.
You've seen War Games.
What do they have for the other buttons? What? Missile, incoming missile button. All right, fine. Tsunami warning button. Okay, it makes sense. Do they have like an aliens are attacking button? What other things do they have in this system that they could just hit the button and everybody in the whole country, or in the state of Hawaii in this case, millions of people get this damn message? There must be more.
Yeah, but they do need to add a LOL JK false alarm button that can be used directly after sending a false alarm.
Don't worry, they have now announced a new buddy system that will ensure this never happens again.
I mean, one thing to be happy about is the system works. So in the event that there was an actual missile inbound, mm-hmm. like all the TVs were interrupted, all the phones went off.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that there was this much panic, that there's probably not too many people in Hawaii that didn't receive this message, is a good testament to the system that they put in place. It's just a shame that the text was already written. I mean,
it's a bad way to test it out.
I mean, okay, which leads you to know that somebody has typed this already.
Yeah, it's already up there.
The message that, like, they have even planned for this so much that we don't want to waste time typing out the message. Here it is. We've typed it. We have the robot voice. Hit the button.
And you're all ready to go. A couple of dispatches sent through the News Junkie app. Here is Poodle Hayes with a very first ever dispatch.
So I played the game of magnets once before, where I took a magnet at a stoplight. It was awesome. And put it on my car, and it was on for about a couple weeks before it disappeared one night. Well, this morning I was behind a silver Toyota going into a subdivision, and lo and behold, I see a Christmas magnet. So I jump out, grab the magnet, wave it around like, whoa, I got a magnet, and then ran back and put it on the back of my work truck. I was Snapchatting to my friend, Hightails, who listens to the show, about my magnet theft, and I hear a knock on the hood of the van. What happens? But the guy gets out of the car, puts another magnet
on he's
the
ready
back
to
of
go.
His car in the same spot. Well played, Silver Toyota. Well played.
There you go. The News Junkie Game of Magnets in action. Let's talk to Annie. You're on Real Radio. Hello, Annie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say, and it's almost a good thing that it happened in Hawaii and not in Washington with some idiot hitting the wrong button.
Mm-hmm. You think it would have been more chaos in Washington? I think you're right.
With the bozo behind the desk, absolutely.
I can only imagine the response and the scrambled meetings. And I'm just glad it wasn't a real missile attack.
Yeah, me too. And there are people, and the most severe, Jamie Lee Curtis, blaming President Trump for this thing in Hawaii.
Yeah, this is not related to that.
And as much as I don't necessarily go out of my way to come to the defense of President Trump, this is not his fault.
Well, the one thing you could say is the heat has been ratcheted up when it comes to the belief that North Korea might actually find a missile.
Oh, of course. Well, don't they have missiles?
They do. Yeah.
A big part of that was Bill Clinton, I think, gave him some missiles.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of stuff that they've been working on. Some of it is terrible, and some of it seems to work, and that's built up all of that that fear in Hawaii. But no, this was some dummy who might have been hungover and might have. I almost feel bad for the person who hit the button. I do.
Oh, of course.
That person is like, oh God.
Like, I just don't know how you can make a mistake like that.
It's a big mistake.
He had to confirm.
Uh-huh.
You had to confirm. They say ballistic missile. It's like when you go to exit out of a form that you didn't complete yet.
Right.
You'll get the notification from Safari. Why didn't they get the notification? Why didn't they stop it?
I think it's terrible. I'm glad they reassigned this person. But on some level, way deep down there, I go, ooh. The amount of stuff you're dealing with right now because of one mistake. It is a huge one, but it really sucks. Here's Bacon and Eggs with a dispatch.
Sup, news junkies.
Hey.
Driving around with Jay Setback looking to bang your mom for magnets.
Yo, okay. What up?
One
What's
way
going
to do
on,
it?
Sean, C-Lane, Sabrina?
Bacon.
Beautiful weather we're having out here. There's no traffic, and it's MLK Day.
There you go.
Wow, and those, there go the speakers.
Blew me out a little bit at the end. Mm-hmm. You gave up on your new headphones, Sabrina.
No, they're in the home studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, these are better for radio. The home studio ones are good for dropping rap songs.
You tried out the new headphones last week at some point in time, and it just real quick, you said, this is not going to work for me.
Yeah, it turns out there's different types. There's an open end, a closed end, and boring radio terms, and audio hardware, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
These are good for the studio. Feel back to normal.
All right, let's go over to Mello with a dispatch.
Hey, junkies, even if I'm the only listener today, I'm enjoying it, you know? I really do like having you guys at work and everything like that, and unfortunately, you know, doing labor jobs, you know, stuff like that.
I know.
Not all of us get the day off. But it's okay. Have a good day. I will be listening all day.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. And you, too, can send in your dispatches through the News Junkie app. Quick mention, thank you so much to all of our Secret Show subscribers. Those are the uncensored shows you can listen to in the News Junkie app and at GetSecretShows.com. As we enter our second year of Secret Shows, we appreciate your support each and every single day. Quickly, Alibaba, the website, the app, the service, and they now have an artificial intelligence based robot that just beat humans in a reading test. More and more the robots that are surpassing us, and this book could read 500 Wikipedia articles and answer far more questions than human beings. We're letting this happen right in front of our faces. Back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie. I can hear you louder than
ever. Whisper to me, help him remember. More your dispatches in a moment. Plus, the worst stepfather ever, or stepfather of the day for sure. And I don't know, early front runner for stepfather of 2018. Details on the way in just a moment. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, you got another shot to win $1,000. And when they say, hey, today is Blue Monday, and it's supposed to be the saddest day, and here you are working maybe on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, well, guess what would turn that all around? $1,000.
Cha-ching.
If it can sometimes get millions of people to play HQ Trivia for $1,000, how about this? A little bit easier just to send it a text when you hear it at the top of the hour and get rid of that whole Blue Monday thing you have going on. It's easy. So listen to that at the top of the hour throughout the day, all the shows right here on Real Radio. This is definitely, and I got to warn everybody, this is a disturbing story. It's really, truly disturbing and weird.
That'll make Blue Monday better.
I have to share this. That's all I can think of, because when I saw this, I said, I can't believe that there are people like this out there making this gentleman, is this our first ever stepfather of the day? Have we done one of those?
I don't think so.
It's our stepfather of the day.
Stepfather of the day.
This guy is a bad person. He is from, I believe, Australia, and he was just sentenced to a year in prison. And here's what he did. I guess the man is very skilled. They say with Photoshop, but what he did was a lot of videos and photos as well. And he was morally outraged, or so he said, about his young teenage stepdaughter's blossoming sexuality. So what he did was took a bunch of photos of him having sex with women and Photoshopped his stepdaughter's face onto the women that he was having sex with. Yes. He started doing this when she was 13. He used Photoshop to digitally add images of the girl onto the bodies of adult women engaged in sexual acts with himself. He also created an image of her engaged in bestiality with a dog because, you know, why not? The man, now 51, was arrested in 2015 after being caught with around 100 images on his hard drives in his luggage when he returned to Brisbane, Australia from South Africa. He said, "Those there? Well, those are artworks, friends. That's a real art that I work on there." But he's entered a guilty plea to all of these different charges, and they said he had a really strong and unhealthy sexual obsession with the girl he had raised since she was 2 years old. What the hell, man?
Seriously.
That is weird.
Okay, so, and I don't know, this is a kind of weird question because obviously this is a bad guy and he did a bad thing. However, if you doctor photos of someone who's underage, is that still considered child porn?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it would be different in a lot of countries, but that would be sort of the same argument as if you had cartoons or drawings of somebody and it was a sexual situation and they were drawn to be underage, which is definitely a thing that's out there.
I've heard, I don't know if those are illegal or not. I've heard that cartoon depictions of child pornography can be illegal.
I think it depends on what country it is. In this country, in the United States of America, is a drawing of an underage child pornography situation illegal.
Like, I don't know. There's always those animations of, like, Simpsons porn.
Sure. And you got Bart and whole family Maggie going at
each other.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, there's a lot of that out there. But this guy was taking photos of himself banging it out with somebody else and then putting his teenage daughter's face on there. And there was a lot of weird going on in that house.
Yeah.
The year he's spending behind bars, you might take issue with and say he didn't actually do anything. Messed up stuff happening there. And it definitely is going to have some sort of mental implications for this young girl who was his stepdaughter for the time. Weird story right there, and definitely on track for Stepfather of 2018, just because he's out there in the lead right now. President Trump says, "I am not racist," despite his asshole comments. He says, "I am, in fact, the least racist person you've ever interviewed."
In fact.
To the journalist who was questioning him this week. Here he is.
No, I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interview. That I can tell you.
That I can tell you. Yeah, that was his response to reporters as he was at the Trump International Golf Club in Florida having dinner with House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and people started asking him about the asshole countries thing, which is still bubbling out there, causing issues. He's not racist. He's the least racist person you've ever interviewed.
Okay, so aren't those two different statements, though? Because if you're the least racist person, that means you're still a little bit racist.
That's true. If you say you're the least racist, it still puts you in the racist category to a certain extent.
I thought everybody was a little bit racist. That song.
It depends on if you're playing into that thought process. If you are, then he's the bottom down there, and he's denying it. The media continues to ask questions.
I read a good comment about the whole asshole situation and the fact that people are really focusing in on the word asshole rather than the word why. And that was the more offensive thing, was because it's not the fact that that he was trashing the countries. Because as many people have pointed out, if you have left where you were born to go to something better, there's probably a chance you yourself said, oh, well, I'm getting out of my home asshole country.
Right. The problem is, it's being equated with talking about the people of that country.
Right.
And you get that fanned up out there, and you get, people get pissed off.
But the comment I read was about people should be focusing on the fact that he said why, and that's really the offensive part, is he was saying, why are we letting these people get a chance at becoming Americans? Mm-hmm. Why them? Other people from Norway and other people from other countries, other whiter people, have all the chance in the world to move and become Americans and take the...
Are there people in Norway just clamoring to come to the United States?
I don't think there are.
I don't know
there
if that's a
be.
Thing.
You never know.
I think he just quickly pulled a random foreign country with white people out of a hat. but I thought it was a good point of... The why is really kind of the thing that kind of stabs you in the back there. The why are we letting these people
it doesn't
a chance
matter.
Of becoming Americans?
It's nuance, and once everything starts running forward, the anger is there. People are mad, and there's a lot of people that got upset by that whole comment. Here we are on Monday, and there's still a lot of talk about that whole thing. Let's go to some dispatches. Check in with you. Here's Road Soda with a dispatch.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Monday.
You too.
Sean, I read the article about the Steelers guy trying to kill people or whatever. And I thought it was weird that they released him from jail on Saturday, which was before the game. And it seems like it was just a crazy guy anyway. But if he was actually trying to go through with it, they released him a day before when the thing was about to happen or
yeah.
supposed to happen. Thought that was funny and weird. Anyway, wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Well, you can bet your ass they were watching that guy during the game, keeping an eye on him. Here's Hockey OSB.
Hey, Junkies, they play that stick song before the third period for the Orlando Solo Bears games.
Oh, yeah?
That hype up the crowd also.
That is a really surprising hype up the crowd song to me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
I don't know. I was kind of hyped up. I said humped up for some reason.
When it kicks in, it's sort of like In the Air Tonight. You were talking about on New Year's Eve, you're at a party, and they did the countdown with the ba-ba-ba-bum-ba-bum, you know, the drum hit on In the Air Tonight. But some of the rest of the song is like, you're waiting to get to that ba-ba-ba-ba part.
But I think it's the whole build-up. And then they probably have, like, the quarterback sing that, and then, you know, the running back and defensive line come in.
Why not put a beat behind it or something? So it's already exciting right here. Pep it up a little bit.
It's not how football works, Sean.
I know, but it should. It should be like some sort of drum and bass, some jungle in the background. It'll take it up to another level of excitement. Here is Amanda.
Hello, happy Monday.
Hey.
Just a quick question. I have two News Junkie accounts, one of them with my secret shows, but that's not the one I make my dispatches on.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering how to unsubscribe from secret shows so I can resubscribe on my regular account.
You don't need to do
that.
Thank you. Email secretshows@thenewsjunkie.com. We'll get them mixed together for you so you won't have any problems. If you emailed over the weekend with any issues, I'll go through those today. C-Lane's taking a look at them too, and we'll make sure everything's all good if you had any account problems. Here's Travis.
Good morning. Happy Monday, Junkies. Sean, the movie you're referencing was called Blast from the Past.
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser and Christopher Walken.
That was a good movie.
And I believe Sally Field played the mom, but not 100% sure. Anyways, thought I'd help you out with that one. As far as it being an accident on Hawaii, I'm not buying that. Come up with your own theories on why or what happened, but
it does seem
there
weird.
There's too many fail safes put into place with stuff like that for it to have just been, oops, I hit the wrong button. But hey, that's just what I think.
Right, and if there's not, if you're wrong on that, if there's not enough fail safes, why not? That would be like having a button on an airplane that's like the crash button. You just hit the button and the plane crashes. You go, why do you have that? Why wouldn't there be a much more elaborate way to send those out to people and not freak the entire state of Hawaii out.
I think because they want to be able to do it as fast as possible in the case of an actual inbound missile.
I wonder, does it take... The question I have, because they said it took 38 minutes to correct the threat that everybody thought they were under, that a missile was going to hit Hawaii at any moment. God only knows what's going on in these people's heads. Is it that it took that long to send that to everybody's phone? How long does it take to send that notification out to everybody? I know we could send a notification out to every single person that has the News Junkie app in a matter of seconds if we wanted to. HQ Trivia has millions and millions and millions of users, and they could send them all notifications. So it can't be that that took too long. There's going to be more that comes out about this, I think. Here's King Kubota with a dispatch.
The governor of Hawaii sure says a bunch.
He's nervous.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
If you were the higher up that was responsible for this massive, massive mistake, you would probably be saying a lot too.
Was he doing that?
Early this morning, an error was made and a false alarm was sent to cell phones and to TV and radio.
This guy sounds more like Kermit the Frog than the new Kermit the Frog to me. I'm still burned up about that whole thing.
Early this morning, an error was made and a false alarm was sent to cell phones and to TV and radio. We investigated, and as soon as we became aware that it was an error, we took action to send the notification that it was a false alarm.
They were probably trying to have a nice Hawaiian luau weekend.
Some of the people still did. Like I said, they were like, there's nothing we could do. Let's just make breakfast and make the best
of it. It's a missile. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
You're not going to have a shield.
And you're on Hawaii. It's not like you can start driving and hope that in the time it takes the missile to get there, you're going to be far enough away.
The thing that surprised me, why didn't it say headed towards this spot? That it's headed towards Honolulu or headed towards Oahu or...
I don't know. And they didn't have the siren sounding either when they sent it out.
I don't think so. I mean, there was a lot of chaos, so I don't even know in total what happened anymore.
They asked one of the guys, did you have "we're about to die, so let's make love" sex? And the guy said, no, we just talked and cuddled. Thinking we're about to die didn't make either of us horny, yeah. Contrary to what cinema says should happen.
That is true. In the movies, you got real horny when death was upon you. I guess in real life, it does not work out that way. Back in just a second with more from the fallout of this H&M story. And if you missed what happened over the weekend, you're not going to believe the updates on this. It's pretty stunning what's happening around the world. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from the Radio 104.1. Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
I want to get into this real quick. We'll just dive in here because I've seen so much this weekend and I've gone, what is happening in the News Junkie universe? What is happening out there that everybody seems to be really pissed off and these people reacting to all kinds of things and they're fighting with each other? And
oh my God, so much.
I think back to the glory days, Sabrina. I really do. When we first started off and nobody was listening to the show. And it's easy to keep like 8 people that listen in order and in line. Like, just hang out over here, guys. Be friends with each other.
We didn't even have to put anybody in order or in line because, I don't know, they were acting like adults, Sean.
Yeah, that's true. They were doing it themselves. And then more and more people jumped on board. And as more and more people have brought success to the show and become fans and listen every single day, that's awesome. It's awesome. But it's also problematic from time to time. It does cause a few issues here and there. And the two big things that come up over and over and over, I see these people fighting. Number one is the chat room and the News Junkie app. I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening there. Sometimes people leave it for like the half a day and then everybody comes back in droves. And when somebody new comes in, the people who are in the chat room could be so aggressive with newbies. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't know the impact you're having. I see Celine got an email he shared with me just a minute ago. Right, this is somebody who's a big fan of the show, who listens to the News Junkie, who subscribes to Secret Shows, who downloaded the app and was participating. And he said, look, I'm not renewing my Secret Show subscription. With the most bizarre reasoning ever. Do you have the email? Don't say the person's name.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
I've been a listener since 5 a.m. Says it first went on the air on 104.1. I thought it was the best thing ever. Bought the t-shirts. Was in the first to pay for a full year of Secret Shows.
This is a big fan.
The members of the show are great. The people in the chat room are horrific, clicky people. They treat other people not part of their group like S. It's awful. And because that is not only allowed to run rampant but encouraged, is the reason I will not be renewing my Secret Show subscription.
That has nothing to do with the chat people.
Stay out of the chat room. You can't keep these people in order. It's like we have a club that we've created, and then all of a sudden the club gets full, and everybody starts fighting with each other. You guys, just appreciate the finer things in life. Enjoy yourselves. Have a good time. Be nice to people. There's a lot going on in the world that has everybody so angry. And that's another one of these things. It's the other problem, besides the chat room and the News Junkie app, which go in there, participate, be decent human beings, please. And don't scare people away who might be new to the show. We get new listeners every single day. The News Junkie Facebook group is the other one that I hear about all the time. The Facebook page, fine, dandy, all is well. There's like 50,000 people at facebook.com/thenewsjunkie. Join it. Follow everything that's going on with the show. Get a heads up on what's happening in the world of the News Junkie.
A page that has been in existence for many, many years and no problems with it.
It's okay. Everything seems all right over there. You get people every once in a while that get upset about something that's said, but for the most part, all good. The News Junkie Facebook group is incredibly active. There's like 10,000 people on there. This is not something that anybody on the show controls. Sabrina doesn't control what's on there. C-Lane doesn't control what's on there. I'm not overlording this group. But there was, I saw so many fights this weekend. I'm done with this. I'm out of here. I'm done. The drama overload.
Oh, I don't know. That really annoys me. It's amazing that these conversations have to continue happening because we're not talking to a middle school class. We're talking to adults. Be adults. My goodness.
You know how that works, though. Adults can be children sometimes. Infighting could be a thing. And the political stuff always fires it up.
The more, that's definitely a thing. And adults, the more you pack them together, the more childish they become.
That's true.
One person can be level-headed and smart, but a group of people just really will bring down the numbers.
Well, you can see it at events that we'll do with the show, with basically anything involving the show. If you have three or four people that are coming up to us, hey, Sabrina, so nice to meet you. Hey, Sean, wow, cool, I've been listening since 5 a.m. Hey, C-Lane, oh, wow, awesome. It's fine. All is well and good. If you have 1,000 people at an event, there's going to be people that get kicked out.
Yeah.
There's going to be people
are wheeled out,
vomit everywhere. There's going to be people who knock over drinks. And that's the way all of this works. Growing pains are a thing. But hopefully everybody can get back on the same page. Love is a positive thing. Have fun. Enjoy your life. And don't get just completely swamped by arguing over somebody's opinions on Facebook. It's a waste of time.
Now, the whole reason why we made Secret Shows is so that we could have fun and get away from the depressing news. So don't leave us because, you know, at the very least, there'll be no drama there or it'll be drama that you'll enjoy listening to.
It's not going to be about politics, not going to be about news stories. And for God's sakes, stay out of the chat room if you don't like it. Don't break up with us because of something else is happening next door.
Also, to answer another very common Secret Show question, no, there is not video yet. Trust me, if there was, you would have heard about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any listener that did not know that there was a Just Okay holiday party, you're not a real listener. You're not paying attention. We drilled it. We just drilled it and drilled it and drilled it until we were tired of talking about it. So when there's video for the Secret Shows, you're going to know about it. We will let you know how you can get on that. And if you're subscribing now, Your price will not go up.
Right.
Right, for the video. Yeah, until it's locked in.
People think it's just a flip of a button. There's a lot of programming and development that goes on, and it's underway right this very moment. So be patient. We get it all clear there? Everybody good?
I have plenty of people tell me what What?
You got more complaints over there?
No. No, it's okay. Don't take the pill yet, but not going to lie, I've downloaded the app, been a listener for a few years, and avoid chat room like the plague. It's ridiculous. I have people tell me all the time, you know what, love the show. I'm just not a chat person. And
that's okay.
I don't blame them sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I go in there every once in a while, and I go, well, who are these animals, and how did they get attached to the show? How did this happen? It's something we get over and over and over. I guess every once in a while, a good idea to sort of do a State of the Union kind of thing and let you know what's happening and what's going on out there. The chat room right now is taking off, people talking about various things that we're mentioning, and everybody seems to be nice. I don't see any really offensive photos, but trust me, that will change very, very soon. So beware with the chat room. Beware with the Facebook group. Stick to the official channels, facebook.com/thenewsjunkie, @thenewsjunkie on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. And let's all get through 2018 together. Okay? All right?
Okay.
Good. I did see this story this morning. I said, man, am I guilty of that. I've gone through a lot of ebbs and flows in my life when it comes to things that I believe in, especially with higher powers. For a while, I was a Hitchens-reading atheist, even like an anti-theist, and getting into that side of thing. And then I said, man, these atheists almost embrace it as a religion of their own, and that can be annoying. And so agnostic is the most comfortable place in the world to be, where you just say, I don't know what's going on, and I'm not going to pretend right now. But everybody does this, and now there's a study that suggests that that's accurate. I think they said 70% of people, when in a situation of danger, a tragedy, or the unknown presents itself, even if they say they don't believe in God, they start praying.
Mm-hmm.
They start praying. And I have been that person on a plane shaking around in the sky. I hate flying. You guys know that. And when the turbulence hits, I'm praying to all of them, man. I'm blanketing every single figure and religious leader that I can out there to cover all my bases. And they say 75% of people do that. That's a common thing that people end up with. I don't know how they ended up with that information, how they found that out. I guess they just asked them.
And they hung them off a building and see if they started praying or not.
I bet people in Hawaii were doing that when that whole missile alert went out on other phones. Just the person who goes, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And then they hit the knees and go, please, God, save us all. I guess it's a lot more common than one would imagine. And the update on this H&M thing, which is so mind-blowingly stupid to consider, is that this weekend in South Africa, there were multiple stores, H&M stores, trashed in a protest at this clothing retailer's advertisement where the little kid had the coolest monkey in the jungle hoodie on. His parents are A-okay with it and wondering what the hell is happening with all this stuff. But they actually went into stores. They were harassing employees, knocking over all the merchandise in the stores and causing absolute chaos. And as of at least early in the week, they were shutting down stores in South Africa. And H&M's like, we didn't have anything to do with this.
It reminds me a lot of when the news came out years ago that the CEO of Chick-fil-A was donating his money to anti-LGBT groups.
Uh-huh.
And that people were going and protesting at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, the drive-thru.
Protesting is not a very good protest.
Well, it's a food outlet. That
but
works.
It, you know, and they were putting blame on the employees where it's like they have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably news to them as it was to everybody else. I mean, there were gay people working at Chick-fil-A.
And you're going and yelling at them through the drive-thru speaker or something. I remember that happened. You just look at it and you go, okay, I get you're passionate about something here, but at least go after the right people. And there's all sorts of videos out there that you can check out of them going in and knocking over the clothing and really causing a whole bunch of damage that caused them, because of this stupid hoodie photo, to shut down the stores in South Africa. To your dispatches through the News Junkie app next. Stay put. It is the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real Radio.
104.1. Follow him long enough and you could be treated to a late night live stream with slurred words. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Couple more quick notes. We're getting some things out of the way here. Talking about the damn chat room and Facebook and drama coming up. The podcast has had some issues here and there, and there are so many people that subscribe to the podcast and rely on that. And the first thing that makes me mad is just the quality of it. There's a tinny thing. That has nothing to do with C-Lane. It actually, I don't even know how much of this I can get into. But it's a ratings thing where they put an encoded sound within the stream that is supposed to make it so if you listen to the podcast on some speakers, we can get some credit for it in the ratings game. But that is making the show sound a lot worse on podcast than I'd like it to. So we'll work on that and try to improve that throughout the year. And then the other problems with Google Play having only a couple of seconds of the show and sometimes stuff not playing and taking a long time. I've sent more emails than I can count. I'll get an update on that today. I think it's working. I mean, it seems to be working. But don't ever be afraid to send those emails over. I know after a while I have a nervous breakdown when there's 20 emails, 30, 40 emails coming in. Podcast. But the information is helpful as well. And each thing that we see come through, I definitely make an effort to try to fix that and get something done. So there's that. Those are the things going on. And now we can move on to something that would have been scary as hell to be involved with. And there was a passenger jet at a Turkish airport. Did you guys see the photo of this thing? It was crazy. It was right at the edge of the Black Sea and dangling off a cliff.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
When it finally came to a stop, it was flight PC8622. Let's get that up on See It Now, C-Lane, in the News Junkie app so people can see this. There's an unbelievable photo. I guess it almost plunged into the sea there as it skidded on an icy runway at this Turkish airport. And the wheels got stuck up and it was sliding around. And then just like a movie. I mean, just like out of a movie, this thing comes to a halt right at the edge of a cliff and with the sea right down there in front of them. Thankfully, the 168 people who were on board survived. Not even any injuries, which is so insane to think of. No injuries at all. They have things skidding around. The tail of the plane broke off, or at least big pieces of it. And everybody was evacuated out, including the crew and the two pilots, and they made it okay. And I guess that means we're still going strong, I think, without any deaths in civilian aircraft flights for a very, very long time now. There was none last year.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, I know. I hate to even say that stuff. There was none last year. You only had smaller planes that were crashing, and this one could have been real close had it plunged off the side of this hill into the Black Sea. Take a look at the photo. It's pretty damn unbelievable. It's on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Here is Jay Flo, our friend with a dispatch.
It's pretty insane to me that one button, one person can be pushed, and you can spread that fear across an entire state to propagate. I know that had I received that message or had that fear, I probably would have been going insane.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that were. C-Lane was just telling me a story about a guy who said he got the alert that there was a missile incoming to Hawaii. He believed it. You know, he thought that this is the end, they're blowing us up. The island of Hawaii is gone, and or at least it will be momentarily. And the guy said he is an alcoholic and hadn't had a drink in a very long time. Cracked open a bottle and just started drinking.
Oh, got drunk.
Yeah, just said, how did you deal with it? I hadn't had a drink in so many years.
Who would blame him?
What if we would have like got the same warning and all of a sudden I'm trying heroin because I think that it's going to die and or that I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden I come to. It's a false alarm, and I'm higher than I've ever been in my life and addicted to heroin.
You know that stuff happens. People freak out, and they say, I got to cope with this, or why not, since I'm going to blow up in a moment. And that guy said he went right to the drink. And then there's a lot of people who go, hey, wow, I mean, if you really were an alcoholic, you talk to somebody, make sure you don't sink down into a hole just because of what this guy did. That could be a lot worse. Over to Thomas.
I'll say it was pretty great to see you guys again out of the Chili Cook-Off. I hope you guys had a great fun time. Went to a Tronicon on Sunday. It was kind of definitely geared more towards children, but it was still kind of fun, especially the VR stuff. And remember, Sean, it's pronounced waifu, not waifu. Waifu? Like wife, but foo.
Oh, okay. It's spelled W-A-I-F-U. What? He's talking about the thing I mentioned on the show where I said that these people have like pillows and avatars that they get into relationships with. A waifu is what they call those. Thanks for the correction, Thomas. I do hope you don't have one, though, right? That's what I'm hoping. Here's Loki.
Hey, y'all. I just want to remind everybody about a little known and forgotten holiday. I got my flag, my rebel flag hanging.
Oh, God.
Happy Confederates Day.
No.
Wow.
God bless the South.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck with that, the whole rising again thing. Here is Mr. Giggles.
All right, come on, guys. Joke's over. Who's the real president?
Jesus.
Come on.
You know what you're doing.
Fit perfectly with one before that, you idiot.
You ruined everything. Here is, and I'm sure this is going to be a responsible dispatch given the name, Turd Nugget 5000 with the very first dispatch.
Hey, news junkies. Long-time listener, first-time dispatcher. Couldn't help but notice the question that you had. The reason why it took 38 minutes was because, unfortunately, they didn't have the basically the fail-safe to cancel the report that said that the ICBM was even coming in. It took 38 minutes to download the app to stop it from even stating that the ICBM was coming in. All right. Have a good day. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
No, that can't be the case. I don't know what he's talking about. He sounded a lot more responsible and respectable than I thought Turd Nugget 5000 would, though. It was very impressive.
Well, he's come a long way since Turd Nugget 1000.
Yeah, it's a long journey, but here's Tater Boy.
What up, news junkie and crew?
Hey.
Checking in for a beautiful Monday.
It is.
Hey, I'm sitting here in my work truck listening to you guys talk about all the BS going on in the chat room.
Mm.
What the hell is the matter with people? This show and the chat room and everything's here to get together. Everybody get drunk. Look at Scrotal Nectar's dong pics. I mean, this is what it's about. It's not about politics and people getting pissed off with each other. It's about meeting up, hooking up, banging, smoking, doing whatever.
Oh, God.
Everyone needs to chill out and have a good time.
Anybody, peace out. Anybody want to sponsor the chat room?
I wouldn't be surprised if Scrotal Nectar's dong pics are one of the things that keeps some of the people out of the chat room.
It's a complaint I've heard before.
Can you? Well, no. Not if you take all the pictures and make them into kind of like a peace sign and you post that.
You could. There's enough. He has a huge, huge library. It's very apparent when
you're going to say something else.
Library. Library of photographs. I haven't seen anything else. I know nothing more than what I've just told you. A woman,
he's pretty stacked.
A woman returned from her vacation to find something very stunning at her house. Her name, Catherine Lang. And when she returned home, she never expected to see this. What did she find? What happened? And the next episode with Sabrina. All when we come back. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 1041 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Real.
Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
But if it's the drugs, the women, the white, the weed, the love, the truth, everything I owe, just take it all.
The next episode with Sabrina in just a moment. Some unfortunate news coming in. Man, of all the people, I really didn't expect this. the world of rock music hit with some sadness here after the announcement that the lead singer of this band right here is dead. Out of nowhere.
Fatality.
The Cranberries lead singer, Dolores O'Riordan, or however you say her name. They were actually in the studio in London recording stuff.
So just like drop dead?
I guess so. The rep for the band said that she died suddenly. This is the lead singer of the Cranberries. And you might know this song, Zombie, which was big in the 90s.
You'll see that joke tomorrow.
And then Linger is another one that they had, I guess. I mean,
Dreams.
Yeah, Dreams was a good one.
Dreams is a really good
one. They played at Woodstock in the 90s. They were really, really big. And then they just kind of disappeared from the face of the planet. She's just 46 years old. So I have no idea what happened here. Dolores released two solo albums while the Cranberries were on hiatus. They got back together in 2009. She split from her husband at 20 years in 2014 and had three children. Dolores was 46 years old.
That sucks.
Yeah, the lead singer of the Cranberries dead at 46 years old. Man, that's young to be falling out like that. When they say suddenly, I think almost everybody goes drugs. Drugs or something like drugs, something that was self-inflicted when you suddenly die at 46.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Could be anything.
Seen within the last 2 months, two people that I know, one of which did not make it, die because of a brain aneurysm.
God damn.
They were no older than 50, 55.
Yeah, there was a story about this. I think it was Sharon Stone or something talking about her close call with that. That's one of the weirdest things in the world. You never see it coming. I'll never forget the video, the viral video of somebody who's walking through the atrium at their workplace, and they captured them on the security footage right as a brain aneurysm hit, and they just fell down, died. That's it.
It's insane.
Just, everything's fine. Hey, how you doing, Dave? All right, we're all ready for work. Dead. Just like that. And hopefully it makes you appreciate life a little bit. Hopefully the people in the chat room will realize that stuff. And those of you on Facebook, on the Facebook group and the Facebook page, realize.
No, they're already making jokes about how she's on her way to join the Craisins.
Oh, God.
Craisins?
Yeah, it's a raisin cranberries. Just bad.
Oh, okay.
A South Carolina woman returned from this trip, and I said, what did she find in her house? Well, somebody else's clothes were churning in the washing machine. Her dishes were stored away, but not in the regular spot. Also, there was a dog, a couple of them, and a cat roaming around, and two women having a conversation inside. What the hell was going on? Well, another family had moved in while she was on vacation. She said, I told them, what are you doing in my house? It became clear to me what had happened. The would-be tenants had been scammed. The couple, they said, that moved to town, and they wanted to get a place. Just like a lot of other people, they got scammed. Somebody said, hey, look, $850 a month, this beautiful three-bedroom home in Beaufort, Kentucky can be yours. Unfortunately, they had broken into somebody else's house, and they already lost the money, all of that gone. Man, when you're getting a new place, whether you're renting that place or you're buying that place, please do be aware. There are so many active scams out right now involved in taking your money right at that moment. And that's exactly what happened here. So keep your eye on that. Pay attention. Be safe. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I'm not exactly blessed in the crotch department.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Somebody else.
No, it was during your press conference.
No, I didn't have any press conference.
There was the cameras.
I heard the cameras, but I don't remember doing that.
No, that was over at Atronicon with the field trip all around you. A bit of an announcement. Come all ye knights and damsels to a celebration of times past at Brevard's Renaissance Fair, in which I will be dressed in full garb this Saturday.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just got the word that they are dressing me from head to toe.
What are you going to be?
I'm going to be a Renaissance girl. I have no idea.
Like the big outfits and stuff?
The corset, so my tees will be right under my chin. I think they're even going to braid my hair. And there will be fun for all the ages, 7 stages, 100 entertaining performances daily, merchants, 3 pubs, foods galore, king and queens, knights and unicorns, fairies and mermaids.
Have you ever been to a Renaissance fair?
I've been once, but I didn't get to dress up, so I'm really excited.
But you know when you're dressed up, you gotta stay in character the whole time.
I believe if I can, Sean.
All right, you're going to have to...
It's easy enough, especially if I have a goblet of beer.
You're going to need a goblet, yeah.
It's 3 weekends only, beginning January 20th. That's this Saturday. Gates open at 10, BrevardRenaissanceFair.com for more information.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And I'll see you on the Sabbath of the January-th. Goblet and shrubbery.
Little bit of homework to do.
Just a tad. 44 years ago, the year 1974, Sean, you were alive and well, and so was this show.
Not alive. Happy Days.
Happy Days is right. It premiered.
Hey.
It starred Ron Howard, Henry Winkler, and Dancin' Williams. It lasted 11 seasons until 1984.
Oh.
Also, another bit of a anniversary today. It was 15 years ago in 2003 that Tom Cruise won $10 million in his defamation lawsuit against gay erotic wrestling superstar Kyle Bradford. Tom Cruise is not gay. I guess he won.
Yeah, be careful with that, Tom Cruise.
I was trying to look up...
The Fonz always reminds me, and I have to give you credit for it, C-Lane, of your dyslexic Fonzie joke.
What was that?
When he said...
Henry Winkler suffered from dyslexia. The original Fonz catchphrase was, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You gotta think a little.
Oh, goodness. Phil. Who's Phil? I meant Pitbull. He's turning 37 today.
Real name's Phil?
Phil Pitbull.
He doesn't look
worldwide.
Like a Phil, man. He doesn't.
Hello, Philip?
Philip, maybe, but if I meet Pitbull, I'm like, man, that's Pitbull. It is. Hi, I'm Phil. And I'm like, what?
Well, he's turning 37 today, which sounds like no big deal, but remember, that's 259 in dog years.
Oh.
Chris Martin from Coldplay and Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey were spotted on another date, my friends. It is totally happening. They're doing it.
Chris Martin and who?
Chris Martin and Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey. And really, they make the perfect couple. One is famous for portraying someone who's been tortured by their lover, and she's a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to the happy couple.
You're very hard on Coldplay.
No, just Chris Martin.
Yeah. Why?
I just like him. She's not a fan of Coldplay.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I like his music. Mm-hmm. I just like roasting him, too. Because Gwyneth Paltrow has moved on.
Well, that couple is the easiest target in the world, with the Goop stuff and then Coldplay stuff.
Dr. Oz was on a flight when all of a sudden someone collapsed and he sprang right into action. Witnesses say Oz wasted no time selling the guy miracle cures.
Mm.
Things seem to be shaping up for him. One of the stunt coordinators from this film right here.
True Lies.
True Lies is right.
You saw the story. There's no way you knew the True Lies theme song.
I'm such a True Lies fan.
He has been fired after allegations that he was a true pervert. On the heels of Eliza, is it Dushku or Dushku?
I'm always careful around that one.
I always say Dushku, but Dushku sounds too
good
to
called her
be
that
true.
In high school, no matter what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Dushku. Well, she accused famed stuntman Joel Kramer of sexually assaulting her on the set of the 1994 movie True Lies when she was 12 years old.
Oh, nice.
And he was 36. He has been dropped as a client by his agency, Worldwide Production Agency. They released in a statement, such behavior is unacceptable and entirely at odds with the standards of conduct we demand of ourselves and expect from our clients. Now, in an emotional Facebook post, Dushku recalled how Kramer lured her into his hotel room where he molested her, denied the claims, but they have since been backed by a number of people close to the actress, including her legal guardian on the set, as well as her mom and brother, and a longtime friend.
Yeah, why didn't it come out at that point in time if all those people knew about this? When I saw that they confirmed her story, her legal guardian on the set confirmed it, I'm going, why has this guy been out there roaming around after doing this to a 12-year-old?
I don't know, because it's not the first time something's been covered up either. Now, when reached by phone over the weekend, Kramer said he did not know about the post. The rap straight up read it to him, and he says, wow, that's news to me. I'm absolutely floored. I don't know what to say. I never took her to my hotel room. At one point, he scoffed at the details, saying it's a pretty good memory. She could ruin my career. These are absolute lies. These are absolute lies, but are they true lies, Mr. Kramer?
Worked out.
See, I didn't even breathe. Because I knew C-Lane wanted to jump in and say that line. because he did forward me the screenshot of it.
Oh.
But see, I win.
I knew you knew beforehand. There was no way you knew just off that song.
Now, no, the
True Lies song.
Allegations.
Play it again. How's it go?
Is it true, is it
true lies
are no
points. It's not words.
It's not false lies.
We're making
true
these up.
Lies. True
lies.
Those are full of it.
Now, of all the people who've been accused of sexual misconduct so far, this has to be one of the most unexpected, but a 23-year-old woman says she was sexually assaulted by Aziz Ansari last year.
I hated reading this last night.
Now,
there was a lot of descriptiveness in that.
Yes, there were, and I have those details for you here.
I saw the thing, and I said, no, please not Aziz.
Now, she told the website babe.net,
mm-hmm.
the exclusive.
This is babe.net's first big break ever.
That they met at an Emmys after party, went on a date not long after. She went to dinner in New York City, then ended up his apartment, and that's when things went south from there. And I'm not just talking about Aziz. Actually, it was a woman who went down south. She said she briefly performed oral on him twice and then spent the rest of the night trying to refuse his advances. His hand repeatedly attempted to explore her privates. At one point, he bent her over and says, "Where do you want me to F you?"
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a bit of a rhetorical question.
The other thing he did is what really, I think, is going to screw him up.
What part?
You mean the claw?
The claw that he continued doing to her. She said everywhere she went and where he would follow her and they'd be making out or they'd be doing this or that, he kept putting his fingers in her mouth and then spreading his fingers.
No, oh, that was not a detail they include here. Oh. The claw.
She called it the claw.
Well, it was like he would spread his fingers into a V, but in her mouth. Mm-hmm. But they also said that the point of that was to wet his fingers.
Oh, yeah.
So they could go elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's strange.
The claw.
Oh, the next day, Aziz sent her a text saying, "It was fun meeting you last night." I guess that makes sense now. He's like, "It was also fun putting my fingers in your mouth in a claw-like form."
That's a weird one.
And then she posted all the screenshots as, "Last night might have been fun for you, wasn't for me. I want to make sure you're aware that maybe the next girl doesn't have to cry on the ride home." He said, "I'm sorry to hear this." And then, of course, issued a statement saying, "Everything seemed okay. I was surprised and concerned when I heard those words, but I took them to heart, responded privately, and I continue to support the movement that is happening for our culture." So we shall see how it goes. Speaking of the movement, this guy... right here?
Mark Wahlberg
Marky, and his
Marky Mark.
Agency are donating $2 million to the Time's Up Fund after all the money he received for All the Money in the World reshoots.
Mm.
And then the news came out that his co-star, Michelle Williams, only got about $1,000 altogether. At the same time of him saying he was donating the $1.5 million, WME, which reps Wahlberg, Williams, and Scott, said that they pledged $500,000 in a donation to Time's Up, all under Michelle Williams' name.
He didn't have a choice, I don't think, but to do this at this point in time. But there was so much phony nonsense in
I
the reporting.
It was
of that
a good
story.
Move.
That's where he was put. If he didn't do it, he's going to look bad. But he was not contractually obligated to do any reshoots. And in her contract, it said that she was contractually obligated to do all the reshoots that were needed to be done. So it was actually in the contract.
They both have a contract for reshoots.
He's Mark Wahlberg. He's probably got a different contract than she does.
Well, that being said, he's Mark Wahlberg, and I think it was a great move for him to donate the $1.5 million to Time's Up. You know what they say? Behind every great man is a great woman, and apparently the same goes for drunk men, because the folks at Johnny Walker Whiskey are about to roll out his female counterpart. That's right. Bottoms up. Diageo.
Who?
Diageo. The company that owns Johnny Walker.
Okay.
They own a lot of
parent company
liquor brands. Diageo.
Diageo filed paperwork early January to trademark the name Jane Walker for all alcoholic beverages except beer, according to new documents.
Hmm.
Now, it's unclear exactly what the Jane Walker products would be, but in the midst of the Time's Up movement, they're saying that this is a probable theme, and it's time to get whiskey in the gullets of males and females. Now, it's not the first
time.
Oh, women
that drink whiskey?
Yeah, but now they'll drink more because it has Jane on it. It's probably pink and stuff. Jane's name has been tossed around earlier. It was around the time of the 2016 election. Walker reportedly had an ad campaign titled Jane Walker, but scrapped it after Hillary Clinton lost. So I guess that wound is healed because Jane's ready to go. Bottoms up.
Yeah, they got to be careful with that whole thing.
What, the Jane Walker?
Yeah, if they released that and did what you were just saying, like if they released it and they're like, "Oh, it's pink and it's got a peach flavor to it or something." people are really going to find that condescending. Almost more smart of a move to go like with something very similar and then just say, this is Jane Walker.
Fans of this show right here.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is right. Particularly in Albuquerque, they're going to get a real Los Pollos Hermanos for the show's anniversary.
Nice.
And it's not just a pop-up. This is legit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gus Fring's infamous fast food chain, Los Pollos Hermanos, is being brought to life by a pair of superfans creating the show's 10-year anniversary. That's what they will be celebrating. It's been 10 years already.
It always looked good.
With a very faithful recreation. They say it's a different animal. Twister's Burgers and Burritos restaurant will be made over into the Los Pollos Hermanos, courtesy of the superfans. They will actually change all the food. The employees are going to be wearing the yellow shirts, the aprons, the hats. The menu's going to change. And they say right now, Better Call Saul is filming over in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we hope he stops by. Maybe he could do a scene here.
Oh, he's definitely going.
We'll buy you a burrito. So they don't have exactly a date yet, but considering that this is the year for the 10-year anniversary, sure, in the next couple months, that bad boy will pop up and people will go to Albuquerque or something. Now, there is something else that we can expect on the television, and that's going to star Alan Cumming. Now, he's never shied away from exploring sexuality on stage or the screen. Now he will set a new precedent in March when he'll play the very first openly gay lead character in a network TV drama called CSI My BH.
That can't be right.
I'm sorry, no. Law and Order, D.I.Q.
Oh, no.
The Backlist.
That's not it.
No, no. About Blue Butts.
I hope it's really Blue Butts. I hope that's the one.
It's called Instinct. It's a show based on James Patterson's 2017 book, Murder Games. Series follows Dr. Dylan Reinhart, CIA spy-turned-college professor who was recruited by the NYPD to track down a serial killer on the run.
Ooh.
Now, much of the early buzz on Instinct, which debuts March 11th, has focused on Cumming's role in the milestone it presents. He says he applauds everyone at CBS for having the courage to do the show, put that on in the climate that might not be the best time to do it. Now, Cumming is particularly pleased by the fact that his character's sexuality is not the show's central focus. Now, the guy, the Dr. Dylan Reinhart, fuddy-duddy professor, former spy, a little on the spectrum, child musical prodigy, and then on top of it, he is gay. Noting that Reinhardt's sexuality is the fourth or fifth most interesting thing about the character, Cumming added, there are so many different layers. So I look forward to see Cumming on CBS.
That last name.
Very, very soon.
Mm.
What was his fragrance called again?
Oh my God, I forgot that was a real thing too. Alan Cumming had
like a cologne?
All Over You or something. I don't
know.
Yeah, it was his last name, All Over You.
Something like that.
And finally, good news for those of us who have long been desperate to live like this gal.
Cardi B?
That is not Cardi B. Damn. Just because it's a female rapping doesn't mean it's Cardi B.
Ha! I don't know. I only know so many of them.
It's Rihanna.
Oh, Rihanna. Well, you always play these Rihanna songs and nobody knows.
This is like literally first or second of the Billboard charts right now.
No way.
Yes. Lemon, Pharrell, N.E.R.D., and Rihanna. One of you. You could rent her house now. You don't even have to buy it. You could rent it. One of her many homes she owns. You can rent it for $16,500 per month, which is a steal if you think about it. Spanish modern villa. She bought it for $2.75 million. Now, she was going to sell it for $2.85, but she decided to change the tune. Available for rent now. Features in suite bathrooms, bedrooms, guest house. Knowledge that Rihanna and her business manager stepped foot on premises.
Ooh.
Get the luxury of turning on a faucet and saying, oh, Rihanna technically owns that.
Mm.
Or walking through the hall. Like, this is Rihanna's hall. Or taking a poo-poo. Like, Rihanna did the same thing here, probably.
I don't want to know that.
Just for almost $17,000 a month. So,
wow.
Renting everybody. On the boob tube, the NAACP Image Awards, 9 p.m. on TV One, the 2-hour season finale of The Gifted on Fox, The Bachelor, 8 p.m. on ABC. This time, two ladies from Glow is going to be teaching the Bachelorette tease how to do some wrestling moves. And then you can catch Jane Fonda on Fallon. Happy Monday, Chodes, and remember.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia up next. Plus, where is Conan O'Brien headed next? An interesting move for him. Plus, you on the phones at 407-916-1041. Toll-free 1-888-978-1041. You're head-to-head with another player to go through seven questions from Friday's show. You got this, and we have a great prize for you. Everybody else, today's the day. If it's been a long, long time or never since you've played live trivia, let's do this. When we come back, get the app and search for The News Junkie in the App Store if you don't have it, and let's have a big live trivia day with everybody involved. Or 407-916-1041. Toll-free, it's 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is The News Junkie.
One foot in front of the other.
Live trivia in just a moment. So that means you got to fire up the app and get ready to go because you are playing along in the News Junkie app in just under 2 minutes. So get ready for that. We always have great prizes. And as of right now, we have a News Junkie shirt for the winner. Probably throw in some extras this week. You'll be surprised as the weeks go on. And this week as well, just to get people involved in playing live trivia and hanging out with us. Conan O'Brien has said that he is now going to tape an episode of his show in Haiti after Trump's racist asshole insult. He said, still reeling from at Donald Trump's very negative Yelp review of Haiti, which means I'll love it. Headed to Haiti later this week to explore and make some new friends. Stay tuned for my report, hashtag Conan Without Borders. And he's been pretty successful on those Conan Without Borders shows. So we'll see what happens with Haiti as we do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
It's live trivia for a Monday, January 15th, 2018. Seven questions. They're about Friday, but we're easy on you on a Monday. Don't worry. All brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. Get ready on the app where we pick players. Phil, Sean, Aziz Ansari, not sorry. Justin, right side Scott, Sapo, or Steven, Sabrina?
How about Phil?
He's up here. Phil, you with us?
What up?
All right, who else?
And Phil will go up against Steven.
Steven's down here on the other side. Steven, you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, Phil and Steven are players in live trivia, and you are playing along right now on the News Junkie app. Good luck over there as we get started. Donald Trump on Friday denied that he had insulted Haitians amid an uproar about his reported description of African nations as what? S-hole countries, crap shacks, dirtier than my BH, or God's toilet? Phil, which one's correct?
S-hole countries.
Steven?
Same thing.
And we'll go to number two. During a CNN segment discussing Trump's aforementioned comments, Republican strategist Rick Wilson told conservative talk show host John Fredericks that he would do this to him: have sex with his wife, gut him like a fish, cut him, or break his face into pieces. Steven.
Cut him.
Phil.
Same thing.
Number three, GM has asked the government to approve test fleets of the latest iteration of its autonomous vehicle. Now, this one's got no steering wheel, no accelerator, no brake pedal. You're screwed. And it's called this. Is it the Chevy Static, the Buick Say What, the Chevy Bolt, or the Cadillac Socket? Phil.
First one.
All right, Steven.
The Bolt.
We're to number four now. Lindsay Lohan is working on revitalizing her career with a series of new roles in business ventures. That includes designing her own island in Dubai, because why not, right? She plans to call the island this: Lindsay Lowland, Gingertown, Isla de Lilo, or Lohan Islands. Steven.
The first one.
Phil.
The last one.
Lohan Island, just very simple. Right to the point. We'll see which one is right, though. Number five, an Asian fusion restaurant in New Zealand is being slammed as racist because of their menu online. It included fried chicken knuckles. They called them this: Hong Li Pony, Holy Bok Bok, Ejaculate, or Wong Hole Yo? Phil.
The second one.
All right. Let's see, Steven.
Same one.
Put you both down for those, and we'll move on. While John Young, who died on January 5th, is famous for his moonwalks and his role as commander of the first space shuttle mission, the NASA astronaut also successfully smuggled this into space. A porn magazine, a corned beef sandwich, a bottle of Coca-Cola, or a small gerbil in his butt. Steven.
Corned beef sandwich.
You say corned beef sandwich. Phil, do you agree or you want something else?
Let's do the porn magazine.
You say a porn magazine. We have arrived at the final question, gentlemen. Last week, we learned that Sidney Frank, creator of Grey Goose Liquor, also created Lil Jon's energy drink. What's that called? Crunk Juice, So Damn Hype Drink, Turnt Milk, or What? Yeah, Okaterade. Phil.
Crunk Juice.
Steven.
Crunk Juice.
There we go. We'll put you both on hold. We shall go over the questions, the answers. We'll see how you did playing along on the app. Was this a good day for you over there? Who's on the top of the scoreboard? Will we have some new names involved? And was it Phil or Steven? You ready to go through these, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Number one, Donald Trump said that he was... Hold on. Donald Trump on Friday denied he insulted Haitians amid an uproar about his reported description of African nations as this. S-hole countries, crap shacks. Did he say dirtier than my BH or God's toilet?
Phil and Steven both said S-hole countries, and that answer was huge.
Look at that. A whole weekend, they still remembered some stuff. That's good. Number two, during a segment on CNN, they had Republican strategist Rick Wilson, and he's yelling at some guy named John Fredericks. He said, I'm going to do this. Have sex with your wife, gut you like a fish, cut you, or break your face into pieces, man.
Both the players said cut him. That answer...
Okay.
Gut him like a fish.
So I'm a gutcha like a fish. It was a very aggressive moment. Number three, General Motors has asked the government to approve some test cars. This particular car, no steering wheel, no accelerator, no brake pedal. It's called this. Chevy Static, Buick Say What? Chevy Bolt or Cadillac Socket?
Phil said Chevy Static, and that answer was incorrect. It was Steven that said Chevy Bolt, and that answer, it's electric, and right.
Number four, Lindsay Lohan. She's making a comeback, and she needs to soon, because it's starting to look like she's lived a very, 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 very hard life. So she's going to design her own island in Dubai, and she'll call it this, Lindsay Lowland, Gingertown, Isla de Lilo, or Lohan Island.
Steven said Lindsay Lowland, and you go, Glenn Nono. It was incorrect. Phil said Lohan Island, and that answer was right.
Mean Girls?
Yes.
I never remember that stuff.
No, you remembered it.
She was in Mean Girls? She was in... Wasn't she in Hervey the Love Bug or one of those reboots?
Yes, she was. And in Freaky Friday.
Freaky also Friday. A reboot. And then not a lot since, I don't think. She hasn't... Not too many big ones since that. An Asian fusion restaurant in New Zealand is being slammed as racist after posting their menu online, including this item... Hung Lee Pony, Holy Bok Bok, Ejaculate, or Wong Hole, yo.
Now, both the players, that's Phil and Steven, said Holy Bok Bok, and that answer.
Man.
Incorrect. Correct answer was Ejaculate.
The chicken went on for a while, and I thought I was going to be right, and then down.
Down.
Didn't get that
one. No good.
Unfortunately. Number six, while John Young, who died January 5th, is famous for his moonwalks, the Jung-un Parkway, of course, the Jung-un, John Young Parkway, I can't say that, and his role as commander of the first space shuttle mission. He also smuggled this into space. Did John Young bring a porn magazine, a corned beef sandwich, a bottle of Coca-Cola, or a small gerbil in his butt?
Phil said a porn magazine, and that answer was one small step, and that was a step that was...
Space stuff.
Really bad. Steven said a corned beef sandwich, and that was one small step for man, one giant leap for points.
Number seven, last week we learned Sidney Frank, the creator of Grey Goose, also created, on the side, Lil Jon's energy drink, and it's called this. Crunk Juice, So Damn Hype Drink, turnt milk, or what? Yeah, Okaterade.
Phil and Steven both said crunk juice, and that answer was okay. Both got it right.
Uh-huh.
We do have a winner of live trivia, and that's Steven.
Oh, there he goes. Congratulations, Steven. You are the winner of live trivia today. Hang on tight. We're going to get your information. Set you up with a great prize. C-Lane, what do we have for prizes?
I have win it, or no, not win it before you can buy it, but
win it while you can buy it.
No, you can just download it. It on digital download.
Oh,
the
cool.
Group of bullied kids face their biggest fears as they square off against an evil clown.
Has everybody seen that?
In it,
not yet. I was about to rent it, but now I'm going to go raid the prize window.
The guy who plays It, or the clown, or whatever. Oh, no, Pennywise, I guess, is the name of the guy. So creepy with the facial moves that he makes. It's very scary.
I also have a pair of tickets to Monster Jam on Saturday, January 20th. That's going down at Camping World Stadium. Fun for the whole family. Some of the most recognizable monster trucks in the world.
Gravedigger,
Max D, El Toro Loco, Monster Mutt, not Muff, and maybe even Son of Gravedigger.
Not yet.
It's a whole Gravedigger family there right
is.
There.
Tickets start at $15. Visit realradio.fm, keyword events, for more information.
Let's see if everybody playing along on the News Junkie app did a decent job.
675 points for the lead, and that's Ask Holyo, followed by Muffin Lady, the Dita, Nate Merkin, come on, the Churches, the Sofa King, Itty Bitty Titches, Pizza Peisenberg, and The Wood. The back five look a bit like Kerber. Derek, Brandon, Bridget, and Fickle Scumbag.
All right, thank you all for playing along. We do appreciate that. Tomorrow's another day. You can still get on top of that scoreboard. All it takes is you getting the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store to get that right now and play along with it. We have, from time to time, done some analyzation of audio on this show. I think we're pretty good at it. We determined something was a fake fart one time and just blew that case right out of the water. We'll do some more of that next, and we'll get to the bottom of a big controversy about one piece of audio in particular next. Stay put, take part with us in it, and we'll be back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie. What's the job of being alive if you don't know who you are? What's the fun in getting drunk if you can't take it too far? I'm saying, oh, no,
take me anywhere but home. I always see these. This week is no different. It's always these big lists that they make when somebody who says, yeah, I was a former Disney employee, leaves. They go, here are all the secrets from a Disney insider. And they're almost all exactly the same. I've got to the point where I can guess what most of them are going to be now, about the tunnels underneath the parks, and about, it's all the same stuff over and over and over again. And there's another one that's making news this week, where somebody who said they worked for Disney World here in Orlando for 3 or 4 years, and they moved away, and they write it as anonymous. And do they have to write it as anonymous? They have like a non-disclosure or something with Disney when you work for the park?
I don't know. I guess it depends what type of employee you are, or they make everybody sign something along those lines.
You never worked there, right, Sabrina?
No.
C-Lane worked at Universal Studios?
Yes.
And I'm sure there's all this stuff that you just hear over and over. It's like it's things you see as an employee if you're working at one of the theme parks. Like, for instance, on the list that they put out that's making news from this Disney employee, they said there's three words that you're not allowed to say in a row. I mean, like it's like one thing, three words you're not allowed to say as a Disney employee. What do you think it is? Under no circumstances can you say this. And I'm sure there's a lot of three-word combos, but there's one in particular that I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Is it negative?
You're correct, C-Lane.
Oh, really?
That's exactly right. I don't know is the answer to the question. You're not allowed to say to somebody, I can't answer that, I don't know. You have to either find somebody else to get the answer to their question or find another way to please the person who's asking you this.
Ooh, challenge accepted next time I'm at Disney.
Oh, man, you could just start hitting them with the most ridiculous questions over and over.
Any idea if Peter Pan is going to be doing that crossover with Snow White like I read online?
And they have to stay in character. They cannot say, I don't know. And also, there's never a lost child at Disney World. Even that makes me feel good about myself because I once left Dylan behind as a monorail door closed at Disney World. But he was not a lost child at the time because they call them lost adults, according to this employee. There's no such thing as a lost child at the happiest place on earth. They say we have a lost adult. And there's a staff sale, they say twice a year. Like all the stuff gets ripped up, it's got marks on it. They give it to them for like pennies on the dollar. If they're a person there, it's so weird. You see that it's at least, God, I got to say, at least three or four times a year, you see one of the theme park people with an insider report about what it's really like to work at Disney or what it's really like to work at Universal Studios. But let's get down to what we're good at. We are able to analyze audio, and in the past, we have been able to solve mysteries and find out what people actually said or find out what the audio truly revealed. And why not? We have one now. Between the Wall Street Journal, who reported on Thursday that President Trump said he has a very good relationship with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Trump's comments came one day after he expressed willingness to re-enter discussions with the country over its nuclear program. He said, I probably have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un. However, the White House contests that he didn't say that. They say he didn't say, I probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. They said he said, I'd probably have. So I would, not I do. That's what they're saying. I have the audio. Because both groups released audio afterward and said, aha, look, we're right. Here we are. This is President Trump talking to the Wall Street Journal. Now, did he say, I probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un, or I'd probably have, as in I don't right now. Here it is.
With that being said, President Xi has been extremely generous with what he said. I like him a lot. I have a great relationship with him. As you know, I have a great relationship with Prime Minister Abe, Japan. And I probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un.
Now, that's the weirdest part about
Kim
the audio to me.
Jong-un.
How he talks like that. It's like when he said Japan way back when.
Japan!
Japan! And now Kim Jong-un is
I know
Japan!
I know exactly why.
Why?
Well, one, I heard I'd probably.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said it weird because he was about to just call him Kim.
Yeah.
Therefore, having an actual relationship with him.
He said Kim Jong-un, because he was going to be on a first-name basis, and like, that would have blown the whole thing out of the water.
Exactly.
Well, Kim is not his first name, though.
Kim Jong-un. Well, in reality, it's backwards with Asian names. His last name is Kim.
Right, but if Trump were to address him in as a friend or as a somebody he speaks to, it would just be Kim, would it not?
I don't think he would call him Jong-un.
No, I think it would just be Un.
He'd just call him Un?
Well, because
you know, call somebody everybody Un? Would call him Kim.
Yeah, people do call him Kim, at least in the media. I know what you're saying. In Asia, the last names are very complicated.
Right, because before it was Kim Jong-il, so there would have to be some way. If Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il are in a room together and you're talking to both of them.
Un and Il?
Yeah.
That's too short. That's like, Un? I don't know if I could refer to somebody as Un. No. I'd have to go with the whole name the whole time. But back to the audio one more time. Did he say, I probably or I'd probably?
With that being said, President Xi has been extremely generous with what he said. I like him a lot. I have a great relationship with him. As you know, I have a great relationship with Prime Minister Abe, Japan.
As you know.
And I probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
So awkward.
That's
Korea. I have relationships with people. I think you people are surprised.
The weirdest thing about it is I do believe he said I'd. The word probably is the giveaway.
Yeah,
really.
And he followed it up with I would.
Yeah. I think that the Wall Street Journal doubling down on this is like, come on, there's a lot other stuff in the report that you could have gone with. Why are you focusing on this? They're kind of win this one. But the rest of the transcript was so ridiculous because then the reporter said, wait a second, do you mean that you've talked with Kim Jong-un? You've had conversations? And he's like, I'm not prepared to say that. I'm not prepared to talk about it. Well, just say no. Just say no right there and it would have fixed the first sentence that you said before that. But Kim Jong-un, the way he pronounces stuff sometimes.
Japan!
It's just very, very odd to me. I think he said I'd instead of I probably, but what a waste of breath to argue back and forth over that throughout an entire weekend, which is precisely what the two of them did. When we come back, not only do we have jury duty, but there is a story that I want to get into. It's pretty mind-blowing out of Maryland and what a teacher is alleged to have done, plus an update on our Tide Pod story that continues to impress and amaze with the amount of stupidity that blankets the planet, your dispatches as well. That's all coming up next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Yeah, we don't like you either, but it's a really easy way to keep up with all our contests. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From Real Radio 104.1. Confirming all reports and some of your biggest fears. You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Jury duty. Plus, lots of dispatches to get into in just a second here. A lot on your mind. We always want to hear that during the show. To that, in just a moment, I went this weekend. I was going around to a couple of places, and I read so much about that Instant Pot thing. That Muffin Lady was like, I want one of those. They do so much stuff. It might be cool to have and a lot of uses for it. So I said, let's go out and get lunch somewhere and then go to Best Buy or some of the actual stores. Like, for once, not buying something on Amazon immediately.
No way.
Nobody has those damn things.
Oh, really?
Nobody has them. They are sold out, like, everywhere. We went to four places to try to get one of these Instant Pots. And every single place was just absolutely sold out of them. They all had them right up there on the shelf, the demo model, but there were none in stock, none to go. And the guy at one of the places said, yeah, every time we get an order of these, a truck comes in, they probably last about 45 minutes on the shelf.
See, I don't get that because I feel like why not just, like, are you really waiting for the Best Buy to get their shipment of Instant Pots in? So you can have your hands on it right then. I mean, if you go to the store, like, did you order one on Amazon now?
No, not yet. Not yet.
If you go to the store and they don't have it, you just order online.
That's what I said.
You're going
to get it. I said, why would they not see that they have this hot product right now and people are going to want to get it immediately and go, let's make sure we order as many as we can so people will actually come to a store to buy it?
Because
they didn't do that.
Supply and demand. I don't know.
Too much demand.
You would think that kind of stuff would happen considering how many people want it, but what if they overcompensate and then all of a sudden they have an entire warehouse full of this stuff?
God, I have a feeling that right now you could sell as many as you could get. These damn Instant Pot things are really catching on. It's becoming a big thing. And there's more and more websites where they have all the different recipes that you can make right in the one thing. And so if you're going out to try to get one of those, just heads up. You might want to just Amazon it. And I think even on Amazon, what I checked once like a week ago and they were on back order. These things are really just flying off whatever shelves they can end up putting them on. Let's do reiterate something though. I told you about this story about this idiotic challenge. And if you search through YouTube, you can find a whole bunch of them where kids are eating or smoking Tide Pods.
Yes.
Just sounds like the worst idea that you could think of. It's full of chemicals. It's pretty looking, but you don't want to eat it because you might die if you do so. They have now gone to the level at Tide of bringing Rob Gronkowski, the Gronk, into the fray to tell kids to stop eating the damn Tide Pods. And I saw so many pictures this past weekend of plates with a fork on one side, a knife on the other, and Tide Pods on the middle of them. Or somebody would have the knockoff Tide Pods. And what is everybody doing out there?
Question for you. Who is Rob Gronkowski? Look at me.
The Gronk? Yeah. He's a player for the New England Patriots.
That's good.
Yeah. I only know that because he's in news stories all the time about partying up on cruise ships and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but points, more points for what position he plays.
Oh, man.
He's a big boy.
It says it right here, thankfully. He's a tight end. Yes. Right. Which was my position when I played tackle football.
You didn't play tackle football.
Oh, yes, I did. Gosh. Yes, I did. Way back when. I played for the Houston Oilers, a team that does not exist anymore in real life.
Oilers, and you were the tight end.
I was
before
a tight end.
Before or after you were oiled up?
I wasn't oiled up, but I did cry on the field one time. I was just a young kid, and it was one of the few times in my life that I've cried with other people around me. And there was a fumble, and I fell on the ball, dove on the ball. The fumble was down, and it knocked the wind out of me, and I was very scared. And that was about the end of my football career. So that went like my baseball career, and well, you know, anything sports related. None of them just didn't last that long in my world. They have a little commercial already with Rob Gronkowski. Don't eat the stupid Tide
Pods. No.
Don't eat them.
No. What the heck is going on, people? Use Tide Pods for washing, not eating.
Please.
Do not eat.
Don't eat the Tide Pods. That's what they're saying. I don't know why that's a thing. It shouldn't amaze me anymore. It really shouldn't, because it should be predictable at this point. There'll be another one in a month or so, and then we keep going on and on and on and on and on. And let's go to the dispatches before we do jury duty, starting off with Skid Brown with a dispatch.
What's up, Sean, Sabrina? C-Lane,
hey.
Happy Monday.
You too.
So, good thing nobody went around and started taking people out off their short list, you know, the list that almost everybody has of people that you want to take out
before
you die.
Purge.
Go around doing that for 40 minutes, and then all of a sudden you find out that it was a mistake.
Why would you kill people before you die?
Happy Monday.
Because you don't want the missile to kill them. You want to get your revenge out on that person. Like,
yeah.
Let's say C-Lane and I were mortal enemies, and now I get the message, a missile's coming to blow up Orlando. Now, am I going to let that missile fired off by Kim Jong-un or Un or whatever you want to call him, am I going to let that missile kill C-Lane? Or am I going to Purge style, enact my own vengeance, and kill C-Lane before the missile can get him?
I'm going to let the missile kill you. I got better things to do, like get hammered.
The thing is, it doesn't really matter because you're going to die right after you kill the person you're trying to kill anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. You have 38 minutes. Choose wisely.
Yeah, use your time.
I will spend the first 8 to 10 minutes pledging myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will spend 5 minutes downing an entire bottle of Jameson.
Oh, boy.
Because that should kick in 15, right?
Will you get drunk, you think, before the missile hits? If you slam a whole bottle, I almost feel like you're drunk by the time you take that last sip.
And it wouldn't be fun if you're trying to run from the debris and your projectile vomiting at the same time.
If they said, everybody evacuate, and now you're outside, whole bottle of whiskey deep, it's going to make your escape plan a lot more difficult.
We haven't heard of anything super crazy, like way out there happen in Hawaii, but... Do you think that if somebody got so scared about the fact that a missile's going to hit that they killed themselves just to be able to control how fast it happens?
Or their family.
Or something like that. Do you think that somebody could be held responsible for this, mistake?
Thank God that story has not surfaced and that's not a thing that anybody has to worry about. But I would wonder. It's incredibly drastic. The idea that somebody would go, I'm not letting this missile take out my family and nuclear war is too much. I'm going to kill my family and myself and then move on to the afterlife with them. That's a really drastic response.
Yeah.
Even with a missile incoming, just roll the dice. Take a chance. You might be able to win or at least survive. Here's I'm not a hippie.
Yeah, about this whole H&M thing. I get it. It was a bad ad and ignorant and insensitive ad to put out. But as a frequent shopper of H&M, I just can't stop shopping there. I mean, the clothes are awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I look good in the clothes.
There you go.
But I do see why people are upset and they have a right to be if they feel that way. But I just can't stop shopping there. And it beats going to Express, spending about $1 million on one freaking vest. So
He's just going to do it on the sly for right now.
He right now is like Wanda Sykes' husband in Clerks 2, like still wants to eat the food even though the guy said a racist thing. He's like, honey, you can't taste racism. Come on.
Exactly. Like, he doesn't want to do it, but he has no choice.
I think he still wants to do it. He loves H&M.
He's not happy about it.
Here is Alex. You're on Real Radio. Hello, Alex.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, how are you?
Junkies?
Good to talk to you, Alex. What's up?
Hey, Sean, my wife and I went to the chili cook-off on Saturday, and somehow we left, ended up leaving at the same time as you.
Yeah.
And we walked and we walked and we walked, and I thought, you know, that is the Sean Watson. And we got to our car, and then you continued, and I saw you had like a half a mile trek across the field. You looked dejected all by yourself, and I told my wife, if I had a 4x4, I would have drove through the field to pick you up.
Oh, that's nice, though. See, I made a mistake.
But I was like, what the hell? Does Sean not get any VIP parking?
Oh, no, he did.
Late for your gig?
He did. He just can't follow directions.
I was actually, thank you, Alex. You were very nice. It was nice to meet you as well out there. But I was about two cars behind Sabrina because when I pulled up to the chili cook-off, I could see your car ahead of me. And then when I went to pull down the road where the event was, there were a lot of people there already. And the police officer made me go further. He didn't let me go to this place where there was parking.
Did you say that you were a judge?
It was like there was a bus stopped, and he just said, go. He was waving me past it.
All right, fine, I will.
I said, all right. And then I said, I'll just grab the first spot. The first spot just so happens to be 8,566 paces away from anything else. So, yeah, it was a good distance away. Also, come on. There were so many really nice people who were judges at the Chili Cook-Off. Chris DeMarco, the PGA player, who's probably the most famous person amongst all of us by a very, very wide margin.
Yeah.
Because he's on the PGA Tour and was the most nice, down-to-earth guy I've talked to in a very long time.
Yeah, he was fun to hang out with.
He was cool. We had, of course, Scott Maxwell from the Orlando Sentinel, who's also very funny and just chill to hang out. We spent a lot of time just sitting in a room getting ready to judge or counting up the stuff we just judged with the chili.
Yeah, Heather from Primetime Kitchen,
yep.
And she also does the food reviews. We had Ryan Elijah from Fox 35, which I obviously let him know yet again. This is probably the fourth event we've both been to, and I still approach him like, love you on the show, watch you every morning, thank you so much.
I think Ryan Elijah is the one I hate right now, because one of them put up a picture on Instagram.
Yep. My gosh. It's the greatest one.
Where?
It's the worst picture of me I've ever seen in my life.
You got tagged in it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Amy Caulfield tagged me and Sean in it because she's like, oh, it's nice to see C-Lane and Sean. And I'm looking at it, and my girlfriend's looking over my shoulder, and she reaches over and does the pinch zoom in
on
Sean.
How dare you?
And goes, not a very flattering picture.
Oh,
I
swipe. To see it now.
I think that, well, let's put that up on See It Now, C-Lane. God damn, is that a bad photo? I think what happened was I just experienced the taste of one of the chilies and said, oh my God. For a little while, I didn't realize that the creators of the chili were up in front of us and watching us taste. Uh-huh. So I'm going, oh, gross. I'm making all these terrible faces. And I didn't know the picture was being taken. And was it Chris Elijah? Is that who it was? Ryan Elijah who did that? Damn you, Ryan Elijah. The worst photo of me I've ever seen in my life. My face is contorted and screwed up.
It looks good, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, if I could take that photo off the internet, that would be the one that I would go for.
Take that photo off the internet and put it on some sort of coffee mug or mouse pad.
No, don't do that to me. Yeah, I saw that and I go,
Sean Watson, look at you, man.
I've never done that before.
I don't think you've ever done that in the 5 years that we have. That's it. Drop mic. Go to commercial. We done.
That's the first one.
I mean, you have been way more enraged before and have never dropped an F-bomb
like that. The photo drove me crazy. I'm like, I am not an ugly human being.
You're
okay?
About to do it again.
I'm not the worst looking person out there. And I look at this picture and I go, good God, that's the worst photo of me ever. And I wanted to just delete my Instagram account, get rid of everything. Oh,
it's okay. Woo! It's at least a funny one.
No, it's not.
I have taken the worst photo ever and I've put it on air fresheners. I want to create a Christmas card for this year. I have big plans for it.
Oh, God. That would be mine if that was a thing. But there it is. Thanks to Ryan Elijah for posting that photo. Just not a brilliant moment in my career as far as looks go in a photo. And I'm looking at myself. I'm going, God, I just lost weight. I thought I was looking all right. Bad, eh? Oh, God. It'll be on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. So you can, I'm sure, turn that into a meme that never goes away and makes me want to just go into the closet and end things, right? That's how it'll go.
Sorry, so dramatic.
Sorry about the errant F-bomb there for just a moment on my part. My apologies. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, and you can find them online. Yes, they are. They do have a website, and it is DeWittLaw.com. DeWittLaw.com. 1-800-DEWITT-LAW is the phone number. You can call or text that and ask. ASK@DeWittLaw.com would be the email address. If you're going through a divorce, if you got a personal injury case, been in an automobile accident, going against the insurance companies, you get the point. Ask ASK@DeWittLaw.com. A disturbing story that's been developing for a while, but now is really heading through the court system. An HIV-positive teacher's aide and track coach in Southern Maryland has pleaded guilty to more than 24 child sex abuse charges, admitting that he was attempting to transmit the disease to the students.
What the hell?
His trial on more than 200 child abuse offenses begins today. And this guy's name is Carlos D'Angelo Bell. They said that he worked at a middle school. His victims were 11 to 17 years old, and he recorded some of those assaults that took place on school grounds. He knew that he had HIV, too.
Videotaped them?
Yep, yeah. He said he knew that he had HIV, and he wanted to spread it to these students. And this is going to be quite the case to watch. As of now, investigators are not aware that any of the victims have contracted HIV. They are offering testing. Thank God. Nobody's popped up and had a positive test with that. That could be even a worse situation than it already is. The Las Vegas shooter. Here we are. God, how long ago was that? What are we, 6 months? Or is it more recent than that? The Las Vegas shooting.
That was October 1st.
Wow, so October, November, December. It's only 4 months ago? Jesus, man. That's how much has happened in the news cycle in the last 4 months. That feels like forever ago. They just released a bunch of documents, FBI search warrants, other things. And more, it looks like his girlfriend may have helped him out to a certain extent. She says that her fingerprints would likely be on the ammunition. They also found out exactly how much prep he was putting into this attack that killed so many people right there in front of the, I believe, Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. But yeah, they said he had at least seven cell phones and mobile devices. He seems a lot like a lone wolf, but he may have had some help from somebody. And there's more and more in these search warrants that they've finally unsealed. And finally, in jury duty, this could be an interesting impact on Central Florida. Following in the footsteps of the California legislature, the Florida House of Representatives is seeking to implement a statewide ban on orca shows and the breeding of killer whales. This is about 2 years after SeaWorld announced it would cease both activities at its facilities, but now they're going to make it official and bring it into the law with the Florida Orca Protection Act. No word on if this is likely to pass or if there's any other Senate version which it would take to actually make this a law, if you followed Schoolhouse Rock to a certain extent. Back in just a moment with something that I've been doing wrong my entire life, and I may have done some serious damage. You probably done it too, though. So follow along next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance
chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
Oh, God. Even my own girlfriend's like, yeah, not a good photo. Yeah, that is not. Ooh, I get an emoji with tears and laughing coming out of it. That bad of a picture could stick around for a while. Did you put that on See It Now, C-Lane?
Yes.
Is it too late to take it down?
Yes.
I think so. The delete button is not functional.
Not working? That is very
call the guys.
Incredibly unfortunate. To those of you who listen to the show down on Real Radio in West Palm Beach and on the Treasure Coast, good news, friends. They have requested another hour of the show for Saturdays and Sundays.
All right.
I guess they like us. All right. So for now, we'll be doing on Saturdays and Sundays, I think from 3 to 7 p.m. on Real Radio 94.3 and Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast as well. So that'll expand into a four-hour show on Saturdays and Sundays. More news in that field of things coming up very, very soon. I did see this story this morning. I said, damn, I do that all the time. I didn't know that was that bad of an idea or was that dangerous. I almost always hold in my sneeze. I have this sneeze coming.
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
And I go, you know, I hold it in.
Why do you do it?
I don't know. I guess I don't want to get snot everywhere.
Sneeze. I mean, getting a good couple sneezes out feels so good.
It's like a tenth of an orgasm.
Wow. I didn't realize, though, that it was that bad for you to do the holding into the sneeze. And I think a lot of people do this, but they did a case report in one of these medical outlets that nobody ever reads except for people who are directly in that field. The report details an otherwise healthy 34-year-old man in the UK who felt a popping, painful sensation in his throat immediately following a sneeze he tried to stop by sealing off his mouth and nose. Now, I've never done that.
That'll pop your eyes out.
That's what the myth was always. They said, don't do that. Eyeballs will pop out of your head. But I would do the thing where it's like, you know, and you hold as much of it back as you can. This person held their nose and put their hand over their mouth. Immediately following the sneeze, he felt that sensation in his throat. By the time the guy made it to the ER, he lost his voice completely and was barely able to swallow. When doctors first examined him, they heard crackling sounds that ran from his neck all the way down to his rib cage. Subsequent imaging tests found the force of the man's inward sneeze inadvertently punctured his pharynx.
Oh my God.
He blew up his throat. His throat exploded from keeping in a sneeze. Do not do that. Now, from now on, you have all the right in the world. I don't care if you're in line at a theme park. I don't care if you're in line trying to get breakfast. If you're hanging out with your friends, chew, just sneeze. Get the big sneeze out there. Or if you're like me, almost always a double sneeze, I think. Get that out there. Don't let stuff in your body explode.
No, I had no idea that was a thing.
That's dangerous. Because he was at high risk of deep neck and chest infection, he was admitted to the hospital. They put him on a feeding tube, and it took him 7 days to be taken off the feeding tube that started this whole thing. It's happened before. Torn throats, torn chest, and you know what? One of the most common things. Jesus. Burst eardrums.
Yep.
And also ruptured blood vessels in the brain, which is known as an aneurysm.
From blocking a sneeze.
From not sneezing, from holding back a sneeze like that. I thought a lot of that was nonsense, but man, that's dangerous. Just get a little snot out into the world and clean it up afterwards, but do not harm yourself on that level. That is really scary stuff. Let's talk to Trina. You're on Real Radio. Hello, Trina.
Hi, going back to what you said, it's really like to work at Walt or at Disney World.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say that I work there and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who says otherwise just probably didn't get what they wanted or didn't enjoy their personal time or stayed where they wanted to for too long.
Who said that they didn't like it, though?
I'm sorry?
Did somebody say that they did not like working at Disney?
No, I'm talking about when they said that, it like, what it's really like to work at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just getting back to, I don't know. To be honest with you, I just wanted to say that certain things that are what people say is not exactly what really happens at Disney.
Yeah.
Does Mickey have a gun to your head right now?
Yeah, it's happening right now in the back.
No, I'm actually walking into work right now.
Trina, I don't think anybody, I don't think the person who said that it wasn't good working at Disney. I think they were just saying that here's some things you might not know because you don't work there. Like, what does it ring true to you that you're not allowed to say, I don't know?
We can say, I don't know. We have to wait three times before somebody says something. Technically, it's like a three rule. But we're allowed to say, I don't know, or we find out for you.
But the other things that you heard like that are rather true. It's just stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different rules with working at Disney, not necessarily bad stuff. It's just how it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. But I'm just saying it's like any other job. So just like at your job, you're not allowed to say you don't like a product, not your job specifically.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, when it, I don't know.
I know what you mean.
It's okay, Trina. It's all right. Well, no, you know, I'm glad that...
I think that she thinks that people are talking poorly about Disney, but this is like, it was just the employee or the former employee, one, getting on the news, but two, being like, well, do I have some juicy secrets for
you? Yeah, that's it. It's like secrets.
If you Google the phrase, they've had an article like that every year for the last five.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I actually have not heard from that many people that say, I worked there and it was terrible and it was this bad.
No, of course not. There's a whole lot of perks for working for Disney. I'm pretty sure even the part-timers get health care.
Do they?
I'm not positive, but I think if you're seasonal, as long as your pass is active, you can go to all the parks pretty much whenever you want.
When you worked at Universal Studios, C-Lane, was that the first place you tried? Or did your mom work there at the time, which is how you got the job?
Did she start before me or after me? Because we both worked there at the same time.
Your mom had the gig that is not something I would want to do in my life, which is take all the heat from the people who are really mad.
Yeah, her job was to get all of the guest comments, all of the good comments and the bad comments. And let me tell you that it is not as common for guests to go out of their way to compliment certain parts of the park. I mean, unless they just had a really incredible experience, but they're not going to go out of their way to go, you know what? The line to Spider-Man was super clean. And everybody had a smile on their face.
Yeah.
They don't do that. No, they
especially
the opposite.
The money that a family has to pay to go to one of those parks, they are ready to find something to complain about. So she did that. And then you worked there. Mm-hmm. But did you ever try to work at Disney or
no,
was just the Universal? Yeah. So I don't think I've heard from either of the main parks anybody going, no, I absolutely hate it. The story was just about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And as for the idea that we can't on this show or that I can't say that there are products that I don't like, I'm pretty sure every single one of us does that at least once a day. Something that we're like, I don't like that. And it'll never be a sponsor, but definitely not told not to say that stuff around here.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably smart to avoid doing that at some points in time, but it's a talk radio show.
Yeah, I mean, there's seven words we're told not to say.
Yeah, I said one earlier. Yeah, I can't even stop from doing that. I don't know what's wrong with me these days. More than 1,000 young people have been charged in a crackdown over the distribution of sexually offensive material in New Zealand. There was an image or two video sequences as well that started being spread around by all these kids at the school, and it was underage porn. It was two kids that filmed the video of them screwing around, and then everybody got a hold of it, and they started posting it on all these Facebook pages. So the police tracked down the entire history of that on social media and have charged 1,000 people for distribution of sexually offensive material. And they say this has got to stop. This happens far too much where young people, to shame others, often under the age of 18, will post this stuff on social media, bringing it to a much wider audience. That's a lot of people who are in some pretty significant trouble as a result of something they did on social media, where before you'd go, hey,
Facebook,
real life.
Instagram, Twitter, y'all see this?
It's social media. When we come back, the word of 2017, maybe something you heard on this show not too long ago. Tell you next, the News Junkie. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The phone system is a fickle beast, but he'll still take your calls. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Sometimes I miss you, and then sometimes I don't. Sometimes I wish I just had more self-control.
Back into the dispatches. In just a second, the Australian Dictionary, McCaggery, I think is how you say it. That's my best stab at things there. We have, what's the big dictionary here? We have
Merriam-Webster?
Merriam-Webster, I think, is the biggest. Then
Oxford?
Oxford is the one that came out of they all came out of the UK at some point in time, or at least the two of those did, I believe. And then I guess in Australia they have their own, and it's called McCaggery, McCaurie. And they have named their word of the year. Why they waited until 15 days into January to name that, I have no idea. But they just did that, and they chose milkshake duck as their word of the year. So, ha, there you go. Turned from a story, from a tweet to a story to a bunch of different things into a phrase. I don't know how they can use phrases as words of the year, though. I do take minor issue with that.
What was milkshake duck again?
Milkshake duck is this, it was based on this first tweet from @pixelatedboat. The whole internet loves milkshake duck, a lovely duck that drinks milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you the duck is racist.
Yeah.
And it sort of encapsulates all these stories. And the one that I was talking about milkshake duck with was the little boy who everybody felt sorry for, and I think he was being bullied or something. Yeah. And then his mom was in a bunch of Facebook photos they dug up with a Confederate flag in the background, and then right downhill. And every story does that. That is what they're naming it. McCaggery in Australia, the word of the year. It's a phrase, though. It's two words. It's not a word. Word of the year needs to be just one word isolated by itself.
Not anymore.
I guess not. They're going.
Was there an emoji last year?
Did they use that? Oh God!
I thought so. I thought it was the crying face emoji.
That's such a cop out. There's so many new words that people make up every single year. You don't need to do that. Let's go to some dispatches. Here is Joe with a dispatch.
Hey, what's up, guys? Tom and Dan have this scenario that they joke about all the time, where you kill yourself because you're afraid of dying. Like a meteor is heading to Earth, it's going to explode the whole Earth, so you blow your brains out with a shotgun. Have you heard anything about anyone, you know, committing suicide because they were afraid of dying in a different way? All right, love the show. Peace.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. There's not a lot of logic there. And maybe the best test case for it would have been when this whole alert went out to everybody in Hawaii saying, the ballistic missiles are headed our way. So, see you later. Just wait. Wait for the missile to drop. Maybe you'll survive, maybe you don't. Here's Ace with a very first, congratulations, inaugural dispatch.
Hey, News Junkie. If I was in Hawaii and they sent out that alert for ballistic missiles, I'd climb to the top of the mountain just waiting on that sweet release of death.
Yeah, just wait up there to watch it come down.
It's kind of morbid for a first dispatch.
Yeah, he's starting out that way. Then from there, it's all
you okay,
up
Ace?
It'll be all right. Here's Clemson Tom. It is, what's it called, what I say it was called this morning? Blue Monday.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the most depressing day of the year.
Maybe that's really getting to Ace. It could be. Here's Clemson Tom.
I have a quick question since the Premier League's about to start.
Tell me about
it. I'm actually a Stoke City fan and was wondering if any other listeners support Stoke. And if so, we got to meet up at a bar at 9 a.m. to start drinking and eating. It sounds like a good time. Even if you don't like Stoke, they've got some ties to Orlando City, and if you want to have a beer at 9 a.m. with me and watch some soccer, or just have a beer and cheer along with me, Let's just get together, man. We got to have some fun on this dadgum thing. Sabrina,
yeah.
Please join us. We'd love to have a few pints with you. C-Lane, obviously.
Count me in,
you're
going
to be there.
Is there a plan?
And Sean,
if
you can get away from your ranting, you know, you're more than welcome as well.
Oh.
Hit me up.
There he is. Clemson Tom, thank you. Stoke City has a game coming up. Is that part of that whole thing where C-Lane didn't know how to pronounce half the team?
No, that was over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that happened this weekend? Well, maybe it's another one coming up. Or it's just on television. He's saying he wants to watch it. When these big soccer tournaments happen, it's nuts. We've done broadcasts before. We did a broadcast at Elixir for one of them. I don't remember what it was, like a European Cup or something.
Yes, I remember that.
And people at 10, 11 a.m., they're drinking, they're up. They took the whole day off work, and they're watching the soccer games at whatever bar they can go to. Some pretty determined drink-heavy friends, or fans, rather, on that level. So if you're interested, Clemson Tom wants to watch Stoke City and have some drinks with you. It's out there. Here's Peisenberg.
Yoski Chodes, quick check-in just to give a shout-out to ChatFam, a.k.a. the Click Click.
Uh-oh.
Click Click is 2018's new Dilly Dilly. That being said, I had an amazing weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys are referring to with today being the scientifically or whatever downest day of the year. It's a beautiful day out here. I had an amazing Sunday fun day, day off, in which I proudly paraded your magnet from Orlando to Tampa, around Tampa to a few stops, and then back again.
Nice.
And wrapped up with a nice evening of ranting at Pizza Bruno. Shout out Pizza Bruno. They don't sponsor me. They didn't give me anything to give them a shout out. They have amazing food, amazing stuff. Go check them out. But don't take my word for it. I'm hammered.
Oh, no.
And I love you.
All right, enough of this. The multiple people who aren't working on Martin Luther King Jr. Day sending in dispatches bragging that they're not working and that they're not drinking.
Rude.
It's a little bit rude.
Uncalled for.
For you to do this. We're over here. We're slaving away.
I'm sweating.
Down.
Are you sweating in that studio over there? Everything stopped.
Seriously.
So, what the hell?
That was just something that people do when they work hard, is they sweat.
Everybody got off the ride all of a sudden. Come on, C-Lane.
I can't hear anything.
He's talking to me when I talk back because I said slaving away a Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Cool, bro.
I'm just talking. Get out of here. I'm done with this today.
Jeez, Sean.
Let's go over to that guy.
All right, I'll chime in on this one. Sean, I've been listening to you since 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drive cab 10 o'clock at night till 10 in the morning.
Oh, man.
And you were the only thing on in the morning that I liked. I used to watch the sunrise and listen to you read Reddit.
This guy. Dick. This guy is a person who has seen some things. When you're the overnight cab driver.
Oh, yeah. He's seen me.
You have experienced life.
And I loved it. It was back before C-Lane and Sabrina were on the show. I've been listening long enough that I have a Welcome to the Freak Show shirt.
Oh, nice.
I came out with shirts more often then. It was pretty cool. I've been listening to all of Millionaire Murder. I've been to a lot of the events. I have an annual subscription to Secret Shows, which I think is hilarious.
This guy's going to dump on me at some point here. There's too many good
We're
things.
Waiting for the butt. Where's the butt?
Uh-huh. But, and then just crap all over me. I feel it happening.
Because I think you guys are great when you're uncensored and unscripted, and I'm going to renew it. I'm not the guy who complained, but I understand where he's coming from. I went into the chat room once and asked a simple question and was met with 100 responses of, show me your D.
Show pain.
So I know not to go in the chat room.
Evil people.
Anybody who's a real fan knows that the Wild Bunch is in the chat room.
Are they really that
Those
wild?
People are trying to drink themselves into oblivion and F each other. It's okay, but I'm not trying to make a name for myself on the internet. Like, I guess they are.
Oh, man.
Anyway, wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Thank you, that guy. Number one, thank you for all the support over all the years and for participating so much with the show. I'm sorry about these click-click people, or whatever you want to call them, in the chat room. There's no controlling the Wild Bunch over there. It happens. What I will tell you is fundamentally shocking and jarring is if you ever see the people from the News Junkie chat room out at some get-together, a chat meetup, or they're at a bar in a big group.
They're not exposing themselves.
Nobody's whipping anything out.
Mm-mm.
Everybody seems really decent and nice.
Yeah.
And just good old people to hang out with. They've made some great bonds. It's just like, it's very tribal in so many ways. They gather around and they're like, oh, it's a new person coming into the chat room. And I can always imagine somebody who's new to this show. Man, it gets to be a whole thing. You're new to the show. You just tune in and you go, hey, all right, I like this. This is interesting, funny. There's some good stuff going on here. Oh, okay, they got an app. Now they've gone to that second step and they're interacting with the show. And then they go into the chat room and your first time kind of putting a toe in the water can be jarring. I get it.
Of course.
I get it. But don't put that on us. Just ignore that. Maybe we'll make some other chat rooms. Oh, God, no. More than one chat room sounds like a bad idea now. Just the words escaping my mouth.
Yeah. Take it back. Retraction.
Yeah. No more chat rooms. Just the one is plenty enough.
Just control yourself so or you'll get it taken away from you.
Well, there is a big discussion right now, and the discussion is all about the future of movies in Hollywood and beyond. And will they, because of many things that have been happening in the news media, and in culture in America over the last 6 months or so, the Me Too movement and that kind of stuff, will they start lessening the amount of sex scenes or scenes where there's actual physical contact between actors and actresses or otherwise in some of these movies? And there's one right now. There's a movie that somebody's working on called Swinging Safari, which this might not be a going to the movie theater kind of film. It could be something different.
Did someone say safari?
It sounds like a porn. Swinging Safari sounds like a porn. It took a crisis meeting from director Stephen Elliott to convince the petrified stars of Swinging Safari to go through with the film's central group sex scene. The cast, Guy Pearce. Know him? Guy Pearce? Anybody?
No? Guy Pearce. I do. Why do I know that name?
Asher Keddie.
I don't know. Asher.
Here's one I know. Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one. Julian McMahon. Radha Mitchell. And, of course, Jeremy Sims. They had all complained that they were worried that this scene would grow into hardcore porn as they filmed it.
Okay, but your show's called Swinging Safari.
Yeah, there's...
It has to be about swingers in some sort of safari setting, yes?
I don't know if there's a safari. They're actually in the jungle. I don't know. I don't know enough about this movie, but there was a lot of actors that were worried given the current situation with what was going to happen with this scene. I could only imagine if the movie Perfume came out right now. And if you've seen that movie, that is the weirdest movie ever.
Perfume's
about some guy who's trying to make the best smelling perfume ever that has like powers, and to do it he has to kill all these women and then put their scent into the stuff to make it. And at the end of this movie, which is just weird as hell, there is an orgy scene with, I'm not exaggerating, at least several hundred people.
See, I will I know which scene, or you know which movie you're talking about. I think that set some sort of record. Because they actually had real actors in there.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it's a really intense thing. I wonder if they'll start clamping down on that, especially...
No, it's art.
Well, especially, though, with two different movies that have... Well, this has already come up. There was a movie where some actress was talking about she was uncomfortable because they went too far and got too aggressive in a scene. And the other one was one of the James Franco things. I did not know this. But I guess there's like this thing that if you're going to do a sex scene, specifically one where a man simulates giving oral sex to a woman,
mm-hmm.
there's like a piece of plastic that they use to block any actual contact from going on.
Correct.
And one of the people said that, or one of the women said that he had removed it during the scene.
Okay.
And so whenever it gets that close, that much contact, at least right now with stuff that's in production, they're thinking twice about this, and the people on that movie set all had to have an emergency meeting. When we come back, the final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and a beautiful day altogether that will wrap up next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Status updates.
Are you really complaining about traffic?
That don't suck. Facebook.com/RealRadio. Orlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Monday. It flew by, man. Here we are at the end of the show already. It seems like we just started like an hour ago or something. But we'll get into these final dispatches momentarily. I did see this story, and you want to talk about ways to get around this whole Blue Monday thing where they say this is supposed to be the most depressing day of the damn year. You have a lot of things that you can blame your failures on. But the story about this guy, a four-time champion of the Asian Rock Climbing Championships and the world's first Chinese winner of the X Games Extreme Sports Challenge. This guy's, he was 35 initially when this happened to him. He fell. He had a car accident that led. Hold on, I'm trying to figure out what exactly happened here because there's two different versions of the story. No, he didn't fall while climbing. He did at one point in his career, but that's not what did him in. He had a car accident that left him paralyzed from the hip down. And despite his physical limitations, he pushed on. He just got an award for climbing this massive mountain. He got Laureus's World's Best Sporting Award. Dude is in a wheelchair, and he climbed a mountain like slick side mountain, like you're climbing up, putting hooks in and stuff. All of it in a wheelchair.
That's incredible.
Where he climbed Hong Kong's Lion Rock. And there's a photo of him dangling from the side of this mountain in a wheelchair, making his way up to the top. Man, it's easy to have a lot of excuses in life. But that guy just made it right through and kept doing his thing despite the situation he found himself in. So good for him. And let's go to your dispatches. The final ones of the day, we'll lead off with Big Red. Here's a dispatch from Big Red.
Hey, News Junkies. I don't know very much about eating Tide Pods, but I do know a little bit about eating gel tabs. And maybe that's kind of like the same effect.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
No, I assure you that if you eat a Tide Pod, it's just going to make your stomach want to explode and probably poison you. Not good things. Here's Foskinya.
Yo, yo, yo. Three things real quick. I want to thank Limp Wiener for hosting the Fish Fry Saturday. That was awesome. Nice seeing everybody again. And number two, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to pick up Hannah Banana. We're going to go get you a job, girl. No excuses this time. And Saturday, big time. The number third thing.
Big number time. Third.
Is Saturday going to be at the... All right, Nancy. I'll just say Nancy. Saturday. Nancy.
All right. I think the last one, but I still appreciate it. Here's Mel.
The caller who just called in is a main reason why everyone is so heated. Everyone's willing just to start freaking out and, you know, saying their side of the story and taking it how they perceive it instead of taking a second and looking at it and seeing what they're actually saying.
Talk about the Disney
You know, color. It's kind of crazy how people can just so quickly be so heated about something that was so minor and really not even really important. I you know, whatever, who cares, you know?
Right. Thank you, Mel. I know, it's like disarming a bomb. Like, all right, what are you upset about right now? Well, I've been great working at Disney. Disney's a great place to work. Okay, who told you that Disney wasn't a good place to work? Well, I just heard a thing and
good
people
job.
Write things and we somehow got past it. That was good.
You remember the time that somebody who didn't actually really even listen to the show happened to tune in when somebody called in and called you gay for liking Julia Roberts?
Oh, there was that one. There was somebody else when the word crazy was used. There's always people that just drive by and pick up on something. I think she was just legitimately confused or wanted to defend her employer. If she likes working, they're good. I think everybody else did, too. Here's ThinkPad with a dispatch. Oh, boy.
Hello, this is Aaron.
Uh-oh.
Eddie.
ThinkPad.
And we're getting hammered on MLK Day. Hope you guys are having a good show.
Shocker.
We'll see you later.
Yeah.
Drugs.
I figured that was the case. Everybody's trying to do this rub it in thing. Since when did Martin Luther King Jr. Day become about just going out and getting drunk?
It's not.
Just any holiday that's in America gets turned into going out and getting drunk.
That's true. And there was a lot of that last night, man. It took me a while to deduce what was going on. I said, 3-day weekend. Everybody else has a 3-day weekend. That's why it's zombie nation down here. People just completely out of their minds, drunk. Here is Grounds Guys.
What a great day. It's Blue Monday, but for me, it's Green Monday, because we're out here mowing lawns and getting things done with landscapes and found a $51,000 bonus today.
What?
What?
Unfortunately, I'm sure it belongs to the neighbor whose name and address is on it, because it's a check and I'm sure it's been canceled.
Gosh,
and
dang.
It's not even made out to me. But yeah, we're going to return it. And we took a picture. And yeah.
What is that picture?
When we took the picture, we even made sure the account number wasn't even on the photo.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow, it's getting to be depressing.
Yeah, it's okay. You'll get through it. $51,000 is a lot to find. And in check form, it's a little bit different. But that's a lot of money. I think the most money I ever found outside was 10, 20 bucks. Like, not much more than that. And I always do this thing where I'll walk by it a couple of times. I don't know why, but I think every time I find money on the ground, I feel like there's cameras somewhere, and it's going to be, what would you do? And John Quinones is going to jump out with ABC News cameras, and they're going to go, you just took that money, and it wasn't yours, sir.
Yep.
And I'm going to feel bad. And
I would make it rain. I would throw it in his hands and be like, now it's yours, thief.
Yeah, they always do that, and they capture people. I feel like I'm going to be next. But then eventually you go, hey, if I don't get it now, it's going to blow away in the wind. Somebody else is going to get it eventually.
It's the least I could do.
I'm doing a good thing by taking this away. You can convince yourself. Here's Bro Villa.
Hey, junkies. No, Sabrina. I don't think you'd be doing heroin. You'd be hitting that bong, though. I know that. Because I'd be right there with you. C-Lane be there, too. Sean, you'd be the one out on the balcony panicking and everything.
Of course I would be. There's a missile. There's a missile coming. Thank God there wasn't. One more, the final dispatch of the day. Here's Andrew.
Speaking of movies that have orgies in them, it's quite funny. I like it, enjoy it. It's a good old-fashioned orgy.
That's the name of the movie?
Jason Sudeikis, yeah. Ty Levine, Blake Bell, a bunch of other people. It's quite funny. Figured you would, I don't know.
Good
I
pitch.
I don't know what I'm talking about later.
Thank you, Andrew.
Sold.
It's all right.
Really into this movie. It's good. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
We love it.
The stories that didn't make the cut, a stock exchange in Jakarta, Indonesia had a collapse. Now, where that collapse was, it's been reported as a balcony. It's been reported as the floor collapse. Whatever it was, dozens injured, and the footage making the rounds as it just completely spilled into a lobby below where this collapse happened. I don't think there's any deaths as of yet. At least there wasn't as of earlier today. But many people injured in that mess. And there's a bunch of women complaining that the contraceptive app that they're using has caused them to get pregnant. This is one of those ones that tells you the days you're least likely to get pregnant on. And you don't want to just trust that.
Yeah. You know what? There's only one sure way of not getting pregnant, 100% guaranteed. That's becoming a lesbian.
Well, there's that.
Brought to you by Muff.
But that's actually more secure than the condom. You're right. It's only 100%
effective. Not emotionally, though.
A mobile app claiming to be as effective as the pill has been reported to the Swedish authorities. 37 women say they got pregnant while using the app last year and just trusting that that wouldn't happen. Sorry about that. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Monday, January 15th, 2018. Seven stories, you know how it goes. The score on the year. C-Lane has amassed 10 whole points.
Damn.
Sabrina, 16 whole points. The showdown today with four more up for grabs starts right now. Today I Learned in this movie series.
Star Wars.
James Bond.
James Bond is correct. You heard series. You thought Star Wars. Fortunately for you, you were wrong, C-Lane. But when the stunt team tried to flip James Bond's Aston Martin DBS in the movie Casino Royale, they found the car too stable to be overturned by an 18-inch ramp. In their last attempt, they fitted the car with a gas cannon and ended up rolling the car seven times accidentally setting a new record for rolling a vehicle.
Nice.
Accidentally getting a world record seems like a pretty good time. Flipping over seven times, not so much. Today I learned studies show that cats understand human commands, but don't give a damn to follow them. Mm-hmm. For the study, researchers observed 20 domesticated cats. I'm telling you right now, these researchers were looking at these domesticated cats, C-Lane. They watched them for 8 months. They did not clearly have anything better to do. And they wanted to see if pets recognize and respond to human voices that call out their names. In the end, when they heard a human calling, 50 to 70% of the cats turned their heads, 30% moved their ears. But very few, only 10% actually responded to the call, which is super rude. Cats, get it together. Today I learned in this movie series.
Star Wars.
Right here.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is correct.
Good call.
I was going to give you some clues like, let's go find that ring. And there's a hobbit over there. I've never seen any of these damn things.
Precious.
When J.R.R. Tolkien sold the movie rights for Lord of the Rings, he forbade Disney from ever becoming involved as long as it was possible to veto anything from or influenced by the Disney studios, for all whose works I have a heartfelt loathing. Monitor the phones. Monitor
Jeez. The phones.
Call's coming back through to defend Disney after that.
Sorry, Trina. We're done.
No, I did not. Tolkien was not a big fan of Disney and made that clear when he sold the rights to the movie. Today, I learn about a guy named Ken Rex McElroy, who was shot to death in plain view of 30 to 45 people in a small town.
Fatality.
You see what's interesting here? Nobody called an ambulance. Elroy was such a bully and was so hated in town that even 30 years later, no one will say who did it, even though 30 to 45 people in broad daylight watched the murder occurred.
Nice.
That guy doesn't have a big fan club.
No.
Today I learned this television show right here.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That is correct. Larry David Zone. Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is a very funny show if you want to give it a shot. And there are a lot of seasons of that thing. If you're one who hasn't discovered it yet, go out there, check it out. You're going to love it, and then you got a lot to watch. Today I learned Curb Your Enthusiasm's theme music, which you're hearing right now, is called Frolic. It's by Luciano Michelini, and it was originally used on a bank commercial. You see, Larry David was watching that bank commercial, and it got stuck in his head for years and years and years until he finally put it to use as the theme for Curb Your Enthusiasm. I have a song stuck in my head right now.
Which one?
All day long, it's been stuck in my head. I'm rewatching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and the Dayman song. I don't know if you guys know
Dayman.
That one. Oh, my God.
And the Nightman.
Oh, that song is so drilled and nested in my head right now. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get rid of it, but I'll try. Maybe that'll help it out. Today, I learned the Queen uses her purse, her handbag, to send secret messages to her staff. She can say all kinds of things by moving the bag around. I guess it's like, hey, I'm done talking with this person. I don't know how she does it, but like she moves the bag from one arm to the other, and that means to her staff, get me away from this person. I'm done talking to them, and I don't want to chat anymore.
Interesting move.
Or she wants an excuse to leave a conversation. These signals help her get out of conversations anytime she pleases. If the queen moves her classic handbag from its normal spot on her left arm to her right arm when she's talking with you, now I'm going to remember that.
Exactly. If I talk to the queen, I'm like, seriously?
I know what you just did. How dare you? Her handlers know that she wants to wrap it up when that happens. Putting her bag on the floor is a sign that she needs to be saved from an uncomfortable encounter.
I need a system like that, man.
ASAP. If she's at dinner and she places it on the table, that means she wants to end the event in the next 5 minutes. So
I'm done with this.
She has a whole language just using her purse and moving it around. And finally, today I learned this band right here.
Nine Inch Nails
is correct. The lead singer, Trent Reznor, is who the Today I Learned is about. Try to say that too fast. Today I Learned is about, and he once released an entirely free album under a Creative Commons license. The message was, this one's on me, folks.
Oh.
Released by his Knoll Corporation way back when. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by a Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio.